want you to hit me as hard as you can. Hello everyone and welcome to the second episode of the DeathStoreProds.com Movies and Television Podcast. I am, of course, your host, The Dead Man. Joining me today, we got Shax. How are you doing?
I'm here to talk some motherfucking movies.
Dan is Skippy. And we got Bobby.
Doctor Who.
Yes, Doctor Who. I just caught up on that.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who and Torchwood, motherfucker.
What's going on with Doctor Who that, like, I've never heard of in my entire life until around last year sometime when I started listening to the Nerdist podcast, and all of a sudden now everywhere I listen to or watch or anything, there's something Doctor Who mentioned.
It's partly because that's when they got the new guy, and he's kind of been getting some traction going, because, you know, like, there was, like, a poll a while ago where, like, the previous Doctor, because the Doctor, every once in a while, he'll die, and they replace him with a new actor.
Right, like I heard about that when I first started hearing about the new Doctor, and I always found that really intriguing that there's supposed to be only like 12 or 13 Doctors, and it's been like 40 years.
There's been 11 Doctors.
Time Lord gets 12 regenerations for a total of 13 lives.
Yes, he is currently on his 11th.
Wow, what are they going to do when they hit?
And
the
we're
13th?
We're not even sure if he'll get his 13th because Dr. David Tennant technically regenerated twice.
Yeah. Yeah, like what happened was like anytime like a Time Lord dies, like he gets killed, he goes into his time machine called the TARDIS, and then he just like stands out, his arms fly out, then weird particle energy starts flying off of him and then he gets a new body.
Hmm.
And so what happened with the last
it's
one?
Completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different. It's not like just like they gave him a different hair colors. Like they completely replace him, and they sometimes change his personality too. So
interesting.
So the last Doctor, the 10th one, David Tennant. What happened was the first time he got killed, then he regenerated as David Tennant, and then the second time around he got killed, and then he regenerated, but he transmitted his regeneration into his own hand.
His own severed hand.
Yeah, like when he first regenerated, when he first regenerated as David Tennant, he got his hand cut off. So then he put it in a little glass jar and put it in his ship. Well, actually, Jack Harkness from Torchwood, he took it and put it in a little glass jar. And then the Doctor came back, and then he took the hand. So then he gets killed again, then he puts the energy into his hand, which then makes a Doctor clone. Which he then sends to an alternate universe to be with his former companion that they traveled with.
That seems
British
science.
British science fiction, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, but now it's just like the Doctor's kind of turned a little bit sadistic.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people are acting like his twisted, his violent side is something new, but it has been something we've been leading up to.
Yeah, it's not something new. Like it just it's never been really this prevalent.
It's just it's getting worse.
Yeah, this is just like in your face. Like before he took out his entire race. He eradicated two races from existence almost by himself. So it's kind of been leading up to the point where he just kind of fucking snaps and then goes crazy and kills everyone.
Yeah, well,
yeah, cause
like I said before, I'm not caught up on season 6 right now because what I've done is I've gone all the way back to 2005 and I'm watching from there back up to season 6 so I can watch the rest of it. After watching the whole series straight through, I just finished 2007.
Oh, wow.
I would have more, but I need more DVD R cases so I can watch it on my DVD player.
That was the Martha Jones season, right?
Yeah, and I do not like Martha Jones.
She was okay, but you know, no one was as bad as Donna.
Yeah, Donna's pretty annoying.
She never shuts the fuck up.
But what I didn't like about Martha Jones is that plenty of companions have loved the Doctor. Mm-hmm. None of them have been that bitchy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not bitchy, but bitching. She's constantly, he doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, motherfucker. He's a 900-year-old time traveling god, essentially.
Also, watching watching the series again, I've found that the writers of Doctor Who have this bad habit of recycling actors.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Gwen in Torchwood is Gwyneth in the 2005 series of Doctor Who. Uh-huh. Now they give a short explanation for that about her being from the same family and living on the Rift.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the worst ones... Tosh was Tosh as well. Yeah, she's in season one as well.
But I think when I was looking over the credits for the episode, it actually did credit her, like, this woman as Dr. Toshiwa something something.
Oh yeah, they give them the same names too, which is even worse.
Yeah.
But no. One of the worst things, Army of Ghosts, when the Cybermen first come to our dimension,
mm-hmm.
right before it goes from Rose to Martha Jones. Christina Hagerman plays a character in that episode. It makes me wonder, were they even planning to have her as a companion, or was it basically like, hey, wait, our actor for the companion dropped out. Okay, who do we have on set right now who can start filming? You!
Yes. It's like, hey.
Like, congratulations.
Yeah, just like, oh fuck, she fell through. It's like, all right, anyone, attention all extras, would anyone like a job? It's like, we'll pay you. And then all of a sudden, just like, fucking just clusterfuck, just everyone starts killing each other. The stream like flies on the stage after being thrown by somebody. It's like, I'll do it!
But, actually, after doing a little bit of research, I found out who the worst recycled actor of any of them was.
Who?
David Tennant. Was a voice actor as a caretaker in an animated Doctor Who short series that came between the old series and the new one. He only did a really very small number of voice acting lines, but then they brought him back.
As the Doctor. Oh, wow. That's bad. Good. I was actually reading somewhere, like, they were the guys who made the show, they were in talks to get Catherine Zeta-Jones to be the Doctor.
Yeah, they have quite a few times toyed with the idea of regenerating the Doctor as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, they might still do it. Well, it would be interesting. I don't care what they do, as long as at some point the Doctor is Ginger.
I don't think so, because we're going to get into the end of the Doctor, because... You know, this is kind of spoilery, but we see the Doctor's death.
Now, it is possible that that will be avoided.
No, yes. like everyone says, like with the time guys, they said some points in time are fixed. The Doctor's date of death is fixed. He has to die at that point.
Yeah, but he said that about other things that have then changed.
Ah, but he didn't say it. Time cops
no,
did.
No, but yeah, well, they're time cops. He's the goddamn Doctor.
I'm just wondering if, like, they'll ever, like, revisit the whole thing with the Time Lords actually coming back.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think they'll ever actually... bring back the Time Lords. I think it would be cool if the Master somehow escaped.
Well, they did bring him back. They did try to bring him back once already, and, they came back, and it was, like, all horrible evilness. So, just imagine if they actually did find a way to break out of the Time Lock. You know, maybe, like, that's why there's that whole war thing going on between the Doctor and everybody.
That would be a really interesting storyline.
Yeah, like, the Time Lords, they come back, they're, like, taking over a planet or something. But no one really knows about it except for the Doctor, so he has to destroy the planet, like, kill every Time Lord again to keep the universe safe, but everyone thinks the Doctor just killed an entirely innocent planet.
Yeah. That would be, what, his third time killing the Time Lords?
Yeah.
Actually, technically, no. One time he killed them, then he and the Master sent them back to where they were when he killed them so that they could be killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But essentially he killed them again.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. So, Shax, what have you been watching this week?
Oh, we're done with the boring talk. I'm just giving you shit. I've never seen the show, so I can't say. Oh, what have I been watching? Well, TV-wise, if you want to talk about boring, I finished watching all of the Monk series on Netflix Instant. I started on Eli Stone now, and that's not going too well. Do you want me to get into movies?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I just watched The Devil's Own. Have you guys seen that movie?
No, I don't.
No.
I think I've heard of it.
Really? It's Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt. Hmm. And what it is Brad Pitt plays as an Irish guy from Ireland, and he's part of the IRA, or Irish Republican Army. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's hard for me to explain because I'm not exactly sure what all is going on in that movie, like what it's really about. But from what I took from the movie is he's a killer. He's part of the IRA and he's killing. He's killed like all kinds of people. So the Irish police are after him, and he hides out in New York. And while he's hiding out in New York, he's supposed to be doing a deal with some mobsters, I guess.
Wait. Just a sec. So to escape the Irish police,
yeah,
he jumps continents.
Yeah. He has some, like, old man that is very wealthy in New York help him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he sets Brad Pitt's character up with Harrison Ford's character's family. Is like, I guess what this old man does is he takes, like, refugees and gives them temporary homes with families in the United States. Huh. And so he's doing this as a favor to Brad Pitt's character because Brad Pitt's coming over here to hide out, but also to buy these missiles for the IRA while he's over here.
Hmm.
And from what I take of it, Harrison Ford finds out this information, and what it is this old man that brought him over here is getting a cut of the money, basically.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why he's doing this, helping, you know, this huge criminal. I mean, like, it gets to a point where once Harrison Ford knows Brad Pitt's real identity, you know, the FBI is after him, the people that are he's, you know, doing this business with are after him, and Harrison Ford is like, he's a New York police officer, and he wants to do his job correctly, so he's like, you know, he's going after Brad Pitt also. But to bring him in alive, essentially, is what he wants to do after he finds out who he is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a really good movie. It's kind of endearing because, like, the whole thing is Brad Pitt, when he was like 7-8 years old, witnessed his father murdered right in front of him at the dinner table, mm-hmm. and that's why he is who he is. I can't explain it as well as the movie, if you want to say the movie explains it well, because I watched it twice now in my life, and I'm still unsure of exactly everything that happens. But it's interesting. It's an interesting movie, and having those two in it is good.
Cool.
It's worth watching. Let's see. I got three more here. Thor, have you guys checked that out yet?
I just watched that one today, actually. It's one of the ones I was going to talk about.
This is where I got to thank you for the whole show me how to work the uTorrent thing and everything, because this is like one of the first movies I picked up, and yeah, I thought it was a great movie. I don't know much about Thor. Like, I've read a couple of his comic books, and I know enough that, you know, he's the God of Thunder and this is his hammer, and I know about the two other Thor's kind of characters, the Buckaroo Bill or whatever his name is.
Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah, him, and then the other one, which was. Had like a chunk of Thor's hammer as his own hammer or something.
But then there's also Thor Frog.
A frog version?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a frog with the Thor hat, the Thor vest, and Thor cape with the hammer.
Is he supposed to be like the frog version of the squirrel Green Lantern?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But I can hear myself talking.
I think that's just a loop. It happens occasionally. It doesn't show up on the recording.
Okay, that'll be good, hopefully. Hopefully it's that.
I'm noticing that it only seems to be happening when I'm doing a podcast with you guys.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know. I don't tell you. I've listened to all the podcasts, and I've never heard anything from what,
I know.
You know. Yeah.
It's the sound reflecting off the Canadian-American border.
Yeah, it needs to go through customs.
And maybe it's getting sent back.
Yes. It's like, sir, do you have a passport? Why are your pants so bulky, sir? What is your business in the States, sir?
We're going to need you to pull over to the side.
Are you of Hispanic descent, sir?
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I really liked Thor. I really like the time that was spent in Asgard. I thought it was, like, very beautiful. The special effects and everything was amazing. Mm-hmm. His time on Earth was okay. I mean, I liked that it was kind of comical, but it's like it did feel kind of like it was forced comical, like Natalie Portman's friend who was like constantly giving out these one-liners and shit.
Yeah, Kat Dennings.
Yeah. It's like at your point it's like, why don't you sit down and shut up? You know, like I'm done with you.
Yeah, it's like this guy, he comes in, he knows all this shit that he's not supposed to know. He breaks into a SHIELD compound and takes out like 12 guys. And then she's still going, it's like, oh, look, it's Bear Man.
Right, yeah.
The one thing I gotta say visually about the movie, with how dark the first bit is, when it finally gets to Asgard, it's like, oh, thank God I can see.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that too. Like, well, with the part with they're fighting the ice giants or whatever they're called.
Frost giants,
yeah, that whole thing seemed very dark to me. I remember, like, I was watching it, like, during the afternoon at the time, which is probably half the problem because my one window's right behind me, and even though I got the curtains closed, light comes in on my TV. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, that seemed, like, ultra dark, and I got to assume that's because of the 3D, maybe? Because, like, I heard with 3D movies that they're made, like, darker or something like that.
I've watched a couple 3D movies. It's never really been like that for me. I'm thinking it's just, like, they were trying to go for that effect of the, you know, this place is evil and desolate, so it has to be dark, but then they just kind of went overboard on it.
Oh, it could have been, yeah.
Yeah, like, there have been a couple of movies where I've seen stuff like that. Like, in Scream 4, there's this one bit where, Sydney Prescott's, like, leaving a room, and she goes and she, like, leaves the room and turns around, and she's like, And they just hear someone say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. But it's completely dark. You cannot see fucking anything.
Right.
And you don't even know who it is until she takes, like, steps out into light. And there are actually times where you just hear footsteps moving around somewhere in the darkness, and you cannot tell what the fuck's going on.
Nice.
Thor is great. Like, yeah, but, like, if the darkness had been toned down a bit, then it probably would have been better, but, like, it's cool for that thing, because it does show, like, the really stark contrast between the Frost Giant world and and Asgard.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I guess I really didn't mind that it seems so dark in that area, because, I mean, it just, I guess, being that much more dark, you know, kind of just added to, you know, the gloominess of that world.
And it could also, and it also made it, like, a little more interesting when just all of a sudden, beam of light and Odin just shows up on his horse.
Yeah, that was pretty kick-ass. Like, I for one, I really don't like Anthony Hopkins. There's few movies of his that I do like, but I gotta say, I really liked him in this. And, like, yeah, that part where he kind of beams down and everyone stops what they're doing, he really owned that moment of, like, I am the fucking dude not to fuck with, and like, everyone knew it.
It's like, I am the all-father bitch.
Like, it seemed like everyone knew not to fucking do anything at that point.
Well, yeah, of course, he had a horse.
Well, they had a giant monster thing.
Yes, and his kid punched a hole through its face.
he did, that's true, yeah.
Yes.
Jesus, fuck that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I liked it. It was good. I gotta buy it on Blu-ray. I gotta see it on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. It looks,
One thing that's really good is just Marvel. They, you know, started this whole, like, Avengers thing, and they are fucking sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised by that, because, like, it seems like a bad idea. I mean, like, almost anyone that will tell you that's seen, you know, these comic book-type movies and superhero-type movies, like the whole idea of, like, oh, you know, like, when Sam Raimi bought two villains into Spider-Man, and it sucked. And everyone was like, you don't do that. And it's just always been, like, kind of a known thing not to bring all this shit together like that.
But what that was it was just one movie. What the Sam Raimi thing was, it was one movie where they had to split the focus between two different villains with two different stories and two different sets of motivations.
Right, right.
With this one, it's like three different series of movies all eventually leading into one culminating movie with one bad guy.
Yeah. Luckily, that is one thing I'm happy with what they're doing with it is they're getting all these backstories out of the way and all these origin stories out of the way, which is perfect. That's brilliant. You know, I mean,
and they're treating it with a like really good level of respect because they're just saying like, oh, we're gonna be leading this big Avengers thing. Just fucking do something with Thor. I don't fucking care. I should give it to guys who make something very good with the material. Like, all the Marvel movies, like, from, like, the Iron Man stuff, the Captain America stuff, Thor, they've all been really great.
Right.
And that's been really helping, to drum up the anticipation for the Avengers thing. Because they're not just movies where, like, comic book fans will like them. They're movies where everyone will like them, including the comic book fans.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what's really good, you know, like, I'll tie that into my next movie.
go ahead, Jax.
I was just gonna say I'm ready to move on when you guys are. So,
Just in comparison to DC movies, I find Marvel they're starting to get into some of their less popular superheroes. Like Captain America isn't the most popular, and Thor definitely not the most well-known. And, you know, they're doing that with the purpose of the Avengers, whereas comparing that to DC and movies, which have always been kind of hit and miss, they're just kind of going into their more obscure heroes so that they can make more movies.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, so we've made like 12 dozen Batman movies, made a couple Superman movies. What else we got?
Yeah,
Green Lantern!
I don't know, I don't know a movie about Dr. Midnight.
And that's the thing with like with Superman and Batman. Like, I was just thinking about that the other day. Is like, man, like there's been a lot of fucking Batman movies since 1969 when the fucking Adam West movie came out.
No, dude, there were ones before that.
Well, like there's like TV shows and
you know, I mean, I'm talking about the first Batman movie. It came out like a couple of years after Batman made his first appearance in Detective Comics.
Oh no shit.
And it was a World War II period piece.
Wow. I didn't know that.
With Batman in it.
I remember that there was, like, a 1940s TV show that was in black and white. But that was as far back as I knew of anything televised of Batman.
Yeah, like, just today I was looking at like, the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Science Fiction. And it said, like, you know, 1940s, Batman, the movie. You know,
it's insane.
And it's like, wow, and, World War II. Okay.
If you count all the animated movies, all the live action movies, all the obscure ones, they really start to pile up.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
And there's a very few really good ones in a pile of mostly crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that game for SpongeBob, you know, find a hay in the needle stack.
Right.
Yeah. So. Okay, so, Bobby, what do you watch?
Oh, boy, I got two more.
Oh, goddammit. Goddammit.
No, let him go. I only have one movie other than Thor. I've been really bad for movies this week.
Okay.
Okay, well, another one is X-Men First Class, which I wrote a review for it, which the only thing that inspired me to write a review for it is because I was so fucking surprised how much I really, really liked this movie.
Yeah, like me too. Like a lot of people, they went into this movie thinking like,
I mean, I don't like that concept of teenagers, first of all, you know, like it made me think Smallville. And I'm like, I don't want to know about fucking teenagers so much as the actual adult characters.
But the guys managed to take that and then avoid a lot of the trappings of the stupid teenage superhero thing, because
right. A
lot of the teenage superhero things, it's about them trying to deal with their like regular life while keeping a secret identity.
Right.
But with a lot of the mutants, they really can't do that because, you know, their power's just kind of out there. Like, this is kind of before all of the Superman, like all the superhero thing had been going on, so it's not really like they, and this is also Cold War stuff, so they believe that, so like, there's the whole war thing going on. They believe that they can help in one way or another. So they're going to be doing the. So they're going to be using these abilities that they have out in the open.
Right. Yeah. And I thought the movie did a real good job with showing how they had to deal with it. And then once Professor X and Magneto, you know, got them together, I liked how they showed them kind to go from being shy with one another, you know, like they would in the outside world, and kind of like come together as like, yeah, we are unique in our own different ways, and we have no problem with letting their freak flag fly in a way, you know. And I liked how that kind of went on throughout the movie, and like with Magneto and Mystique, I liked how that relationship went forward. I thought they did a good job with that, where he was kept on her, like, you know, you don't need to hide this, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really like how that went along.
Yeah, that was good. And I also just like the relationship that was between Charles and Eric, like their whole thing, like them meeting each other, becoming friends, and then just slowly, like watching them grow into like a more powerful relationship, and then everything just falling apart.
Yes, yeah, I know. Like that's I mentioned that in my review. Like those two together, when they were having their scenes together, I found it so much more powerful and impactful of what those two meant to each other than what what the two from the two old men, I can't think of their names now, Ian McKellen and
Patrick Stewart,
yeah, like those two at the time, I thought they did all right, but like these guys, let me get their names here real quick.
James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I'm like looking at the page too, I had to write them, but yeah, like these guys, they, to me it's like they got it, and they just had so much more to them. I can't even explain it. Just the way I felt watching those two.
It was great chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And I was like, I mean, when I got done watching this movie, I was like, this movie is fucking awesome. It is by far the best X-Men movie there is, which it's hard to say that's, you know, as a huge thing, which it is, because the other movies suck so bad for the most part.
Like, the first two were great. Like, X-Men 1 and X-2. Those movies were really good.
Well, like, X-Men 1 was all right. I thought X-Men 2 was better. I mean, if I had to choose, I would say X-Men 2 is my second favorite movie after.
Yes, like that's the thing. Like, before First Class, it was always like X-Men, it was always like X-2, then X-Men 1, then Last Stand, then Wolverine.
Wolverine
just, fuck that movie.
Yeah, but I'd rather Last Stand than Wolverine. I gotta agree with that man there.
I it's been a while since I've only seen Last Stand once, and it was when it first came out in movie theaters, and yes. I hated it through the whole thing. So.
Same here.
I'd probably have to watch it again, but like just so much of that was so wrong with everyone dying off.
Mm-hmm.
But what else? What else did I want to say about this? Oh yeah, the only real thing that I really didn't like is like I can't blame it for having no connections to the other X-Men movies, like I said in my review also, like, because none of the movies really follow each other in any way other than the characters are the same throughout them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Wolverine, Sabretooth is his brother in Wolverine, but way back in X-Men 1, he has no idea who Sabretooth was.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did get his mind wiped through Weapon X shit.
Right, yeah, and I found that to be some kind of really poor man's version of, we got to make him forget this, let's just shoot him in the head. And it was just like, really?
Which, by the way, adamantium does not pierce adamantium. No. Nothing versus right. adamantium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so tacked on. It was like, oh shit, we forgot that we made this a completely different movie than the rest of the series. We got to do something. Well, let's shoot him in the head with an animating bullet and he forgets everything. And someone was like, brilliant, done. And wrote that one sentence down in the...
Yeah.
I'm surprised
they did... Kind of Stephen King, the ending.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't just kind of go like... I'm surprised just like some guy to just walk in like on the... Like bring a whiteboard, like dry erase marker. Just... As everyone was like, oh my god, how the fuck are we going to do this? Let's go in there. Electrocution. Done.
I like Bowie's Stephen King. Like, I could see him going like...
Stephen King, the ending.
Just have... Stephen... In there and rah, light monster.
Yeah.
Stephen King admits that he can't write endings.
Yeah. Yeah, endings are hard.
Other than that, the only problem that I really didn't like with it, and being that this was the first one they had a chance to redo the whole series and kind of forget about all the other X-Men movies, is I wish they would have had all the original X-Men in this. I wanted Cyclops, not Havoc. I wanted Iceman there. I wanted, you know, Beast was there, which was great. And yeah, Angel, I don't know who this Angel bitch is, but it's not the Angel that I wanted to be, you know?
Angel was in it? Angel wasn't in X-Men First Class.
There's Angel, some stripper chick. That was her character.
That was Angel Salvatore, but that wasn't Angel. That wasn't the Angel.
I know. That's what I was saying. It's like, I don't know who that Angel is. I've never heard of her, but it wasn't the Angel that I want in that movie. I want the original Angel in it.
Well, yeah.
You can't really blame them for that because of the age differences, which they already screwed up in Origins.
Mm-hmm. And just one thing that's a little bit weird, like... Like, from everything I've read, I've watched a bunch of reviews of this thing, and everyone's saying that, like, X-Men First Class, it keeps in continuity with the first two, but completely dismisses three and Wolverine.
Right. But how are you keeping in continuity with the first two, but not the third?
I don't know.
And this is what I'm saying, they're all
for,
so
like, for a
up.
Prequel.
But just, like, when, in X2... They have on television this guy Senator Hank McCoy, who looks completely human. Then X-Men First Class. Oh, Hank McCoy is actually a scientist working for the government who has monkey feet.
Well, but, no, even in the third and last stand, he's a senator or some shit. Like he works, and then he's a beast form.
But this isn't something you can turn off, and they never really explained how he went from being just regular dude to Kelsey Grammer in blue makeup.
Right.
Yeah, like this one, they actually do explain how he went from looking like a human to looking like a blue furry.
And he actually, in the first class, he looks more of like a monster than he did in Last Stand, where it was like...
Yeah, that one he just kind of looked like a blue Wolverine.
He looked like a guy with blue paint on his face and a fuzzy thing around his face.
Yes, this one he looked like if the guys from Avatar were badass.
Right, yeah. I mean, he looked awesome.
He looked beastly.
Yeah,
one might
say. I just feel like this one, it seemed like they took much better care of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just the few little things about it that, you know, I didn't like. But for the most part, is by far the best X-Men movie there is. And they should follow suit to this one. Forget all the other movies and just go from this one on out. And, oh, by the way, the whole thing with through the first, like, third of the movie or so of Magneto tracking down Kevin Bacon's character was so fucking amazing. Like, when I heard that they were making a Magneto Origins movie, like what they did with Wolverine, and then they canceled it because they thought it would be too boring, they could have made that a fucking movie by itself, and it would have been amazing him down.
Yeah, that would have been good, but, you know, I'm glad that they didn't because... You know, they made this movie, they made it, and it was good. It was fucking awesome. And having that bit in it really helped make that, really helped sell that movie and sell that character. So right. if they were to now say, oh, we're gonna make this other movie.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, definitely
or,
not yeah, now.
Or if they had done it before. If they had gone through and made the Origins of Magneto, they probably wouldn't have been able to make that. Probably wouldn't be able to have that huge chunk of the movie inside First Class.
Well, I mean, what I was thinking is they could have, you know, and just did it with a little bit of like with like what Saw does with their movies with the overlapping. They could have, you know, added that stuff in there again, and yeah, you would have been watching a couple some scenes that you've seen before possibly. But, you know, you would have been able to mix it in there, just had that kind of overlap with each other, so you would know where it was in continuity with what was going on with everything else of X-Men First Class, if you wanted to. But, I mean, yeah, I can see where they did it, but I'm just saying, like, that was a really, really great part of the movie. My favorite part of that whole movie is when the guys are like, who are you, or what are you doing here, or whatever, and he's like, call me Frankenstein and consider me looking for my maker or something. And that was, like, the greatest line of that whole movie.
Yeah, just the way he delivered it, like, with that British accent and the gravitas.
Yeah, and he had no problem with wiping those fuckers out. It was just like, you are a cold-blooded, calculated motherfucker, and I loved it.
Yeah, and I kind of had some, like, worry. Like, I went into that movie with, like, a little bit of disbelief of, like, Michael Fassbender, because the only thing I've seen him in was Inglourious Basterds.
Right.
So I just thought he'd go in there, do that accent, and but play, try to play Magneto, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, yes, so was I. I mean, even James McAvoy, like, I hated him in Wanted. And that's the only other movie that I could think of that I've ever seen him in. And he's when not, I heard he was a Charles Xavier, I was like, not Karen.
Oh,
but
that,
I thought he owned it.
Yeah, he managed to pull it off really well. Like, especially, I really like the part at the beginning where he's just, like, using, like, where he's, like, using the mutation thing as pickup line.
Right.
It's like, in a bar, it's like, pointing at everyone's mutations.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. That was very pimp of him to do that.
Yeah, just like, he's like, I'm a mind reader. Let's go. All right, so mutation's very cute. And then, like Mystique's just in the background just, like, fucking staring daggers at him.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Good.
All right, let me just real quick get to my last movie that, Dad, I was going to try selling this on to you earlier in the week when I first seen it, but you were like, I have no interest in movies like The Road. So, but all right.
Because I'm like Lord of the Rings, that actually does just look like an hour and a half of walking.
Well, I mean, it's an emotional, depressing movie, and I like that. So, like, I, for whatever reason, maybe I like punishing myself, but I like movies that beat you up mentally. And when you're done watching, you're like, man, I just seen some shit, you know? And this movie, Stakeland, you guys, I mean, if you guys like post-apocalyptic type movies, if you like vampire movies, you should see this. I mean, it's very dark. It's gritty. It's really like the shit that these people go through throughout this movie is just insane. And like the vampires in the movie are kind of like zombie-esque, and like they don't really think. Like these characters, whenever they're like asleep in their car and stuff, like they'll put a perimeter out of like strings around it with like like cooking pans and stuff, and then the vampires, when they, you know, cross over it, they hear it, and the vampires are too stupid to know that they're waking everyone up.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the vampires that they had in the I Am Legend movie.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, they're just stupid, monstrous. I mean, that's my favorite, like that's the one thing I liked about the movie Priest, is how the vampires are monsters, like how vampires like really, really first originated. And though these are like, they are humans in this movie, they're just so beastly, you know.
But one thing I like about the older vampires, like the original, like Bram Stoker kind of Dracula vampires, was that while they still had that whole bestial quality, they were much more refined in it.
Right.
You know, they were like beast, actually, kind of.
Yeah,
because like Vlad, Vlad Dracula, he, you know, when he's talking, he's just like really refined, really, really gentleman, you know, like holding a goblet of possibly wine, but it's actually blood in between his two middle fingers, sipping it lightly while talking about fine literature, and then he rips your fucking head off.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's like why I like Lost Boys so much, is because they were savages and they showed that they're savages, but at the same time they could be, for the most part, calm citizens, you know, walking around the the carnival.
Yeah, that's one of the things. That's one of the things I really liked about Daybreakers. Was like they had the people and they were just like living their ordinary lives, but then like taking enough blood away from them and they go fucking crazy.
Right. Well, like this movie is actually it's kind of like a more realistic look of what the world would be like. More than what Daybreakers was, is because I mean the world is it's gone. I mean everyone is trying to survive. What is left of people is trying to survive, and the vampires are just ripping through everyone, and there's really no one left. And it's post-apocalyptic in the sense of people are vampires and they're savages and mindless and they're just monsters, and people are trying to survive in this world, you know. And the movie kind of like takes one guy who's a vampire hunter, and he kind of brings this kid under his wing and trains him how to be a vampire hunter. And he, like, it seems like he uses the teeth of the vampires as trade for different services, for, like, getting their hair cut and for a place to sleep. Because, like, he always has, like, a pocket full of these teeth, and, like, every time he shows them to some people in a town, they're like, whoa, you're a vampire hunter. Like, oh my goodness, you know, they kind of like just like, whoa, you're so great and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. You guys really should see it. If you like vampire movies, if you like post-apocalyptic movies, I think you'll like it.
Yeah, when you describe it like that, it actually sounds interesting. When you say, like, it's like The Road, but with vampires. I just kind of, yeah.
Well, I kind of gave up instantly because I'm like, I felt like shit. Because I'm like, well, have you seen The Road? You're like, no, and I'm not interested to see The Road. I'm like, well, fuck, there goes that. So I kind of gave up right away, but like I wrote it down. I'm like, I'm going to talk about it during the podcast and hopefully turn you around and turn Boya onto it. But yeah, definitely you guys should see it. I got it on U-Torrent, so yeah, just you can get it that way.
It is available somewhere. It is available through some means.
Yeah. I don't know if I should be bringing that up or not.
Eh, who cares? No one listens to this.
Our luck is anyone of any kind of authority.
Yeah, we have fucking 7 subscribers to this thing. I doubt that any of them worked on any of these movies that we're stealing.
If there's any figures of authority listening, I have one thing to say. Motherfucker.
Yes, I have
motherfucker,
one
motherfucker, motherfucker.
I have something else to say. Oink. Pigs.
All I got to say is, you 7 fucking people listening to this right now, watch Stakeland. It is one of my favorite movies this year. In the top 5, easily.
Okay, cool. So, I guess that means now we have to do a fucking end of the year show. Thanks, Shax.
Hey, no problem.
Okay, so, moving on. Bovi, what has been the one movie you watched?
Other than Thor, okay, I've watched Thor. I just have one other one to talk about, and that's A Clockwork Orange.
Alright.
Have either of you not watched this movie?
I tried to watch it, and I got motion sick.
I watched it, I've seen it.
Oh, motion sick? I guess the way it's filmed.
Yeah, just like those really art films, like all the really quick cuts, just like kind of gets me just, you know, some rumblings that aren't feeling that great in my gut, and then like, I got to the part...
Gives you good pain in your Gulliver.
Oh, I'm wrong, mate. No, but, like, what... Yeah, like, I saw, like, they were walking around, they broke into the house, they raped that chick, and then Malcolm McDowell goes back home. And then I started getting motion sick when he puts on the Beethoven and starts flashing the different nuclear explosions and him as a vampire. That's where it's just like, oh God, I'm gonna throw up.
Alright, well, if you thought the first bit was twisted, it does get quite a bit more twisted.
I've seen worse, believe me.
Have
you watched American Psycho? Takes eating out to a whole new level.
I do need to watch that movie.
When you say American Psycho is worse than Clockwork Orange, you don't mean that it's a worse movie, because that's just
no,
impossible.
I think he means more twisted.
Yeah, like it is much more violent. Like at one point, Christian Bale drops a chainsaw from like 7 stories onto a chick's back.
Yeah, yeah, dog. Love me some American Psycho.
American Psycho is fucking awesome.
Now, there's one thing I know about the book that I'm not sure about with the movie. Although I have not read the book or watched the movie, I do have some knowledge of the book. with American Psycho, does the movie kind of do the same thing of alluding to the fact that he might not be killing anybody?
Yes, it does.
Imagining it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it does that too. Like, near the end, he starts actually hallucinating a bit. Like, he sees a little, like, he's at a vending machine, he's, not a vending machine, he's like an ATM trying to get some money out. He sees a little kitty. So he picks up the cat, and he looks at the vending machine on the screen and says, "Feed me kittens."
Yeah.
So somebody just pulls out a gun. Somebody just pulls out a gun from nowhere and tries to fit the cat into the ATM.
There's actually a part in the movie that where he's carrying the body bag through the front entrance area of the hotel or that he lives in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what people thought was a goof was that there's something dragging behind it, which looks like blood, and it starts to evaporate. As he's dragging this bag of body parts or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and people are like, "Whoa, that's kind of fucked up. That's supposed to be blood, and it's not supposed to be blood. It's actually like the tail end of his delusions, and that's where kind of like his delusion ends, and that's why it starts disappearing so far after the back of the bag or something like that."
Cool. Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that, but yeah, there's been another couple things like. Like I said, around the end, he's like going around trying to find all the bodies. Like, yeah, there was like this house that he killed a couple people in, like hung their bodies in the closet. So then he goes back there, opens up the closet. There's like people actually. There's a like open house at that place. So then he goes in the house, opens up the closet with the bodies, and there aren't any bodies in there. And the woman's acting like, "Okay, what are you looking for? Can I help you?" So then it's not really clear like if he actually ever killed anyone and put bodies in that closet.
Yeah, all the right, movie's not right. Really clear about it, but there is that idea that he didn't.
And it has some nice ambiguity to it, because one of the early kills, one of my most favorite kills in that entire movie, the Paul Allen kill. You know, where he's like talking about.
Is that Jared Leto's character?
Yes, Jared Leto. He just like he just drunk off his ass. Then Christian Bale's just like really hammered it up, talking about Huey Lewis. Then just fucking axes him in the forehead. That is my favorite kill out of almost any movie ever.
I love. I feel like we're taking a bully's time, and I apologize for that. But like, oh, I love.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Time is time, right?
Yeah, we gotta stretch the shit out.
I love that he's listening to Huey Lewis in the news, and the way he's just going on and on about how much he loves that album, and then all of a sudden he just stops and he's like, "Hey, Paul Allen," and he's
like, "Let's see, get a reservation to Dorsia now, motherfucker."
This is such a good movie.
Yeah, it's just
only watch it, please.
Yeah, is this good?
Yeah, I think like Monday I'll be watching that.
Okay, well. Spoiler for this, but like I said, we're doing the Paul Allen thing, and throughout like the entire movie, they're always confusing people with somebody else. Like I'm Paul constantly thinks that Christian Bale's character is somebody else.
Yeah, that's always confused me with that movie. I still don't get it. He thinks he's someone else that is like never in the movie.
Yeah, like I think what it is they're saying like the people in business, they're pretending to be friends and stuff, but nobody cares about anybody. All they know is names, no faces.
Right.
And so it goes through that, and so it goes through the whole thing, and then he Christian Bale goes up to his attorney, and it's like, "Oh yeah, man, great Bateman impression. Like, motherfucker, I am Bateman." And he's like, "Oh, really? Huh."
Yeah,
then,
that was always so weird and confusing to me.
Yeah, and then he says like, "I was like, I killed Paul Allen." I was like, "What are you talking about? I just had lunch with Paul in London like 2 days ago." And that's kind of where things go weird, because on the message that Bateman left on Paul's answering machine, he puts the answering machine. He's like, "Yeah, I'll be in London for the next few weeks, so yeah, if you're looking for me, leave a message." But then he has lunch with a guy who he thinks is Paul Allen in London. So it's never really clear whether he actually did kill Paul Allen and this guy was just confusing Paul with somebody else, or if he actually did have lunch with Paul Allen, he's been imagining the entire thing.
The best part of that whole movie is when William Dafoe is asking, like he says something like, "Where were you last Thursday?" He's like, "I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to check, but I think I was returning videotapes."
Yes, yeah, that was great. And then like a little bit after that, he's like, "Hey, do you like Huey Lewis in the news?" Yeah. And then the Bale's just like staring fucking daggers at him. I was like, "No, never heard of him."
Oh.
Okay, Bobby, you were saying.
Clockwork Orange, right. So yeah, basically continuing from where you went, the guys in his gang kind of turn on him, basically trick him into being caught by the cops where... And in this situation, he happened to murder a woman. He didn't intend to, but he kind of did. Hmm. So yeah,
don't you just hate it when that happens?
Yeah. He murders her with a giant cock statue.
God, man, it's been years since I've seen this movie, but I don't remember anything you're talking about right now. It's like a different movie.
You don't remember the giant cock statue?
No, and I would think I would.
And he smashes it into her face and he kills her. Yeah.
God, but you didn't see that one coming.
I remember the part with, like, the big white statues in that room that they're hanging out with. I remember, like, his eyes being held open while he was watching the videos. And I remember, yes, like, his one old buddy turning into a cop and beating the shit out of him. And I remember him raping all the chicks that he raped. But I don't remember any big cock statue.
Well, he's also wearing the phallic symbol nose mask at the time. Yeah, basically, he goes to jail, and then there's this program where he can get out of jail if he goes through this medical experiment, whereby one of the most parodied scenes in all of film history is used, where he's given a drug that basically makes him nauseous, and then he's forced to watch all these videos of crime, and they just happen to be playing Beethoven in the background, and you know, you saw enough to know that he loves Beethoven. And so they accidentally made it so that he hates Beethoven as well as he hates violence and sex. He cannot stand any of those things. And I gotta say, in the number of things that have parodied it, almost all of them have used it wrong. Best example, The Simpsons uses it. This is the one that comes to my memory first because I saw it 100 times as a kid and didn't get it.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I'm sorry, but that's one of those things that I've seen in multiple different scenarios of like The Simpsons, and never knew what it was until I seen Clockwork Orange, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes all perfect sense.
You finally get it. It's one of those things. It's like you don't get to get the joke for another 10 years. Wait for it. Just wait for it. It'll be gold when you get it.
Okay, guys. I got pissed, so you guys talk about yourselves.
All right.
Yeah, he's gone.
That dude's a fucking asshole, am I right?
Yeah, what a dick.
Fucking asshole, man. I was just fucking around about American Psycho. That movie's a piece of shit. I was just trying to fucking be nice to him. Alright, so what else? What else you got for me about Clockwork Orange?
Oh, well, I was just about to say how that's so misused, because, you know, in The Simpsons, which is the one I always remember, it's used to make Santa's little helper more violent, and that's how it's almost always used, is to make a character more violent by witnessing these acts of violence, and it's meant to be the opposite of that. And you know, this next part I'm going to talk about really quickly is, I found it hilarious the way on the stage presentation they made a topless woman seem so menacing.
Huh.
Really?
I just came back on topless woman seems so menacing. Well, and now we have a title.
Yes, title. I dropped the title. Okay, but yeah, basically after they do the whole thing to make him hate sex and violence, they do this stage performance to show that Alex, you know, once one of London's worst criminals, is now harmless so that this program can become more famous and more... get more support. So at one point they had this guy beating the shit out of him, telling him to lick his shoes, and Alex is just like, okay, I'll lick his shoes, because he doesn't want to vomit. He feels like he's going to vomit if he's around violence. And then they bring out the topless woman to prove that he can not stand the thought of sex. And so there's just this ominous music, and the lighting's weird, and it's so menacing as this topless woman walks up to him.
How's the shadow on the breasts? Like, how are they lit? I'm asking this from a purely cinematography standpoint.
Strongly from the direction of her top left shoulder. There you go. Spotlight.
oh man, I've heard questions of like, how is the camera angled and stuff like that, and like, was it
but
like a below view so you could feel the weight, but yeah, how is the shadow of them?
Well, I'm just thinking like, how can you make, like, with the right lighting, Brisk could look very menacing. So I'm guessing with like the spotlight from the left going, it's got like kind of the shadow going down and kind of cutting off, like the shadow going from one of the breasts cutting off across to one of the other ones.
Well, you got to also remember that back then, this is like what, like the mid 60s, I think, when this movie was made. So like titties back then were like really pointy and just stabby looking. Like they were like.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, that's already alone can be menacing looking.
Oh, God.
God, I love this job. If only we got paid.
Oh, hopefully someday.
Yes, soon.
Yes, when we start getting... 7 people start fucking paying up.
Yes, but if you start paying us, we will end this world. With content.
We'll kill it with pointy titties.
Yes. Pointy titties and Batman.
There's the title.
Yes, pointy titties and Batman.
All right, I gotta look up the year first. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I think Clock of Orange is 64.
I was thinking like 65. That's why I was saying mid 60s. I mean, well, you got what's his name, who's young as fucking, and now he's an old.
Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, I should have said I'm a douchebag. He's cool.
Yeah, he's in Killzone.
He's in Killzone.
Yeah, he's one of the head of Hellgas dudes.
Oh yeah.
The one thing that Clockwork Orange always reminds me of, though, is how British people used to actually talk so much different than us.
Yeah.
Holy shit. 1971.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Wow. We were way off.
Mm. We were closer than I was. So, you win the Price is Right.
Yeah.
You win a new car!
And apparently I rated this
you
movie
win 5,000 hypothetical dollars.
Yes. Well, and 5 seconds stand next to a Barker bean. Your time starts now.
That's all.
Time's up.
Alright. I went boom boom in my pants.
Okay, so that actual line brings us right around to the top of the line, what I've been watching.
Oh, porn, right?
Nope. I watched Sky High.
What is that?
It is a live-action Disney movie about a superhero high school.
Oh, is that with Kurt Russell?
Yep.
I'll be back.
It's sad that I know that.
And Linda Carter. Also known as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And it's got Bruce Campbell as a gym teacher.
Oh, what's his special power?
He can yell. He's like Banshee from First Class.
Nice. Can you fly from yelling?
We don't know. All we really do is see him yell at kids who give him lip.
Did Bowie say he's going to be right back?
I don't know. Oh, well,
Bowie, there? That dude's a dick, am I right, Bowie?
Yeah, I know, fucking dude. I never should have brought him on this thing.
I know. Man. Okay.
So,
what do you think about Kurt Russell's superhero?
He's okay. He's actually one of the better parts of that movie.
Yeah. Well, look, the way I see Kurt Russell, the dude's been making movies for like 40 years. And I can't give him any wrongs. Like, as shitty as a movie is that he does, I'm just like, man, you are awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, I just thought, but he actually is really good in this movie. Like, he takes the whole, like, he's essentially the Superman of this world. He is the greatest superhero who ever lived.
Right.
But he's also retarded. not actually retarded. He just fucking is so thick and stupid and self-centered.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he has like when they take him down to the like the when he takes his kid down to like the trophy room, he's like the pacifier. And it's like, what's it do? No idea. It just doesn't miss a beat. Like, what's it do? No idea. Yeah, and then like gets to the end and you get like the big reveal of who the bad guy is. And so he just like stands up for a couple seconds, just like thinking. So Royal Pain is a girl. And meanwhile, she is speaking through a voice modulator that makes her sound like Patrick Warburton.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so what I was talking about with the whole boom boom thing leading into this, there's one scene. So the pacifier, it turns out, is a device that is used to de-age humans from adults to babies. And so her whole plan, and so like Royal Pain's whole plan was to pacify every single superhero at Sky High and re-raise them as villains.
That's actually pretty genius. I like it.
Yes, and so what happened was one of the guys who's played by Kevin McDonald, who's one of the former Kids in the Hall, he's been pacified, but his power is he is super smart. He has like a giant head, which makes him like insanely smart. And so he still has that head as a baby. And so what he's doing is like, he's like, don't worry. So what they do is like take his baby out of the bus, and then he's just like, don't worry, I can take everyone. Like, Mr. Peace, take me to the science lab. And also, change my diaper. I go boom boom. Yeah, it's a pretty terrible movie, but I kind of dig it. Yeah, just the color palette. Everything is just so... You can easily tell, like, right off the bat, who's a bad guy and who's a villain just by what they're wearing.
Yeah, because if I remember right, like, I think Kurt Russell, isn't he wearing, like, almost... I want to say red, white, and blue, but, like...
That is it.
Like
red, white, and blue. Yes.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie, I don't know why I know so much about it.
Oh yeah, you know so much. You know Kurt Russell's in it and what Sudi wore. Yeah, but it's just, it is pretty bad. The acting from like the kids is pretty terrible, except for Mary Elizabeth Winstead, because I love her. She is great in everything I've seen her in, and yeah, she's the bad guy in this movie. And it is really good. Oh, and also just, as a point of the times, as a gift for getting his superpowers, guess what Will Strong, guess what Kurt Russell's kid gets?
I don't know.
An Xbox. Not an Xbox 360, an Xbox.
Oh, God, you gotta love that.
Actually, just let me check when this fucking movie came out.
And there's the keyboard pounding. Dead man's brain is working, his fingers are moving.
Okay, so this movie came out July 29th, 2005. And the Xbox...
Oh, so it was like right after the Xbox came out, I believe.
Yeah, so then the Xbox 360. Let me try to find this shit. It was... Okay, launch... Yes, it was launched a couple of months before the reveal of the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, they should have played us some wizard shit and, like, revealed the 360 in this movie.
Yeah, they should have, but actually, I want to just look at something else. So.
Wouldn't they want to pick a better movie to reveal their game system in?
Probably,
have
yeah.
Have you seen The Wizard and how horrible that movie is?
Yes. I love
and they announced Mario 3 in it.
I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
I love that the Power Glove made that kid a better player.
Yeah.
And his douchebag buddy brings it out for him. I would have been like, go get it yourself, fuckhead.
Okay, another thing that I just realized. The Island, another movie, came out 2005.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It came out July. Like, I think that's 5 months before the Xbox 360 launch. And in it was like 2000 and what it was like 2120 something or whatever.
And there is a mention of Xbox in it, I remember. They have like a virtual reality Xbox.
It's not a mention. It's a giant fucking wall that says Xbox.
Well, yeah, because they're playing Xbox.
Yes,
it's just like virtual reality Xbox.
Yes, but it came out. This movie came out in the same year. I'm guessing it was after the 360 was announced, because E3, I think, takes place before this movie came out. So they would have announced, you know, hey, we got Xbox 360.
Well,
so
when was the movie released?
July 22nd.
Yeah, because E3 is always in June. Like, the second or third week of June.
Mm-hmm. So they could have easily just gone back in. So they could have easily just, like, reshot that one section of that scene with the Xbox 360 logo, or, like, the Xbox 720 or 1080 or whatever. But no, just a standard Xbox. You know? Hey, this thing can also run Conker. And Blinks, the time sweeper.
I want to say it was called, like, Xbox something.
Nope, just straight up Xbox.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in a while. You want to talk about a good remake, even though it's like kind of an unofficial remake? It's I just threw myself off. Forget it. It's like Logan's Run, but awesome.
The guys who made this other movie called Parks the Clonus Horror actually sued Michael Bay and the producers of this movie for copyright infringement.
Because of Logan's Run?
No, because of Parts the Clonus Horror.
Oh.
Yeah, what parts was, there were like all these people, they were living on this kind of idyllic, little piece of like plot of land, and they couldn't leave it because they were led to believe that there was some kind of infection out there that was killing people. And so every once in a while there'd be a lottery, and whoever won that got to go to America.
All right.
But then it turned out that everyone was actually a clone, and that whenever anyone won the contest to go to America, they were killed and had their organs harvested for their donors.
So it was exactly like the island.
Yes, exactly the same, except there was one main guy instead of one main guy and a girl.
So it was the island minus Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
The island
wins.
That's
where they made the mistake. Yeah.
Yes, the island wins. Oh, God.
And that's what Michael Bay's like, that's why I'm where I am, and that's why you guys are where you are.
Let's not forget, Ewan McGregor.
Yes, he's good. I like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And there's actually a scene from the island that gets used in Transformers 3.
I've heard about that. There's like some kind of explosion.
Yeah, do you remember when they're running away from like the Black Ops guys, and then they're on the back of that truck that has all those axes, like all those wheels axes on it, and they kick one of those off? And it hits that truck that almost cuts that truck in half.
Yeah.
They use that scene in Transformers 3. Remove the render that they did of the axle and replace it with a render of a giant robot.
Wow, I don't understand what happened, man. Like the first Transformers was a really, really good movie and really well thought out.
Oh, it was so bad.
The first one?
I cannot watch any of the Transformers movies ever again.
It was so much better than the second one, and I haven't even watched the third one. I saw the trailer, and I'm like, no.
Okay, so just on scale of least horrible to most horrible, the movie, the series does go 1-3-2.
Okay.
But they are all still terrible.
I haven't seen the third one, but I can't imagine it being as bad as the second one, where Shia LaBeouf dies and goes to robot fucking heaven. I mean, that's when I lost my shit.
Dude,
I was like, no, this movie's stupid.
Dude, giant robot tentacles. I mean, testicles.
Yeah,
that was
also
in number two.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they like...
Robots do not need testicles.
Yeah, and they do this giant thing, like, build up, like, the whole Constructicon thing is just like, oh, fuck, this guy's gonna fucking shit up. And then he does nothing, really.
Yeah, man, John Turturro, man, he's way, way too good of an actor to be playing stupid fucking parts like that.
Yeah, and in Transformers 3, I can't remember the actor's name, but the pilot of the starship in Firefly,
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk, he is in Transformers 3, and he is the best part of that movie.
I've heard how good his part is, and yet how bad the movie is, and I'm sad because I want to watch it for Alan Tudyk. Because I love him as an actor.
He's fantastic.
Anything I've seen him in has been great. Except CSI, you know. Although he played his part well. Nothing can redeem CSI.
CSI.
Alan Tudyk, that name sounds very familiar to me. So Tell me some stuff that's been in.
Dodgeball, he plays Steve the Pirate. Firefly, he plays...
Gotcha.
CSI, he plays the pedophile.
Death at a Funeral, he plays the guy that gets high on acid and goes under the roof naked.
He's the guy that kind of eerily looks like Steve Zahn.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, those two could play brothers easily. In fact, isn't he in the new... let me look at it real quick, because I just watched the trailer. Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Probably. I don't know. Like, I should look that up, too. I don't know.
Actually, I just watched the trailer, but I wasn't sure.
Now you get to see how my mind connects somewhat unrelated dots and calls them related, but on the note of good actors making crappy movies look better, I saw a trailer for Mission Impossible 4. And at first I'm like, oh god, no, not another one. Then it's like, then it shows Simon Pegg, and I'm like, shit, I'm gonna have to watch this.
You won't. Simon Pegg's in it for like 5 minutes. I know, he was in Mission Impossible 3 also.
Oh, was he?
I don't even remember that. Oh god.
Yeah, like Tom Cruise was running somewhere, that he calls Simon Pegg on a phone, and then Simon Pegg's just like, like, you can't comment this line, you've been, like, disavowed or blacklisted or some shit, I don't know.
Well, I mean, with the third one, if you want to talk about the third one, a good actor making a bad movie look good, is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes, that was...
He was fucking ruthless in that movie, and so good.
Yeah, that was so weird, just like seeing that, like, oh, Mission Impossible, all she's jumping off the week. Wait, was that Philip Seymour Hoffman? Huh. I should watch this. Yeah, and it's just... And it's like the little explosive that they put in their brain. That is just great. it just like when it goes off, just like, kum, it's kind of like jump a little, then their one eye like skews off to the side.
And honestly, all the Mission Impossible movies are now is it's something trying to convince us that Tom Cruise is worth watching. It's like, he did this great movie a while ago. We can make more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the second one sucked.
Yeah, kind of lost his whole thing after he went crazy.
Yeah, he turned into a Scientologist nut.
Okay, so yeah, Alan Tudyk is in Tucker and Dale versus Evil, but Steve Zahn isn't. It's a Tyler.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's Tyler Labine, who is from Reaver.
Right. No, I knew Steve Zahn wasn't in it, but I wasn't sure if Alan Tudyk was in it or not.
Yeah, he is, and that looks kind of cool, because I love me a really stupid comedy zombie horror movie thing.
Yeah, when we get to trailers, we can talk about it, because I watched it earlier this week. I watched it twice, actually, because it looks so fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, so, what else did I watch? Oh, I watched this other movie. It's a 1994 movie, I think. Joel Schumacher with Michael Douglas called Falling Down.
Oh.
It was fucking awesome.
That movie's so great.
It was so, so good.
Was that your first time watching it?
That was my first time watching it.
Oh, man. Yeah, you went way too long not seeing that.
Yeah, dude, when that movie came out, I was 2.
All right. I keep forgetting that there's a pretty good age gap between the two of us.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you're like 12 years older than me. So yeah, just that movie is just so fucking awesome. I just love like at the beginning. I just love like after he gets the baseball bat, and just like walks with the Mexican kid start. They just start beating the shit out of him. And he grabs that one guy's like butterfly axe, like, and just starts walking away, flipping around. I was like, how do you do that?
And, like, that movie, they could make a video game out of it, the way that he just collects weapons, and he just keeps upgrading to better and better weapons throughout the movie.
And that movie just, it went in a way that I had no idea was going to go.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, just like...
Like, what were you thinking?
Well, I was just thinking it would eventually just lead up to him going, like, completely crazy, just, like, shooting out, like, a fucking store or something because of capitalism or something. But then just all of a sudden goes, like, a hard left, and then, oh, he's actually just going to kill his family, maybe. And there's that whole side plot with Robert Duvall, which was really good. Robert Duvall, yeah. Love that guy.
Yeah, that was, I didn't like that, whole thing that was going, I didn't like his wife. Let me just put it that way. His wife drove me fucking nuts.
Yeah, but that's what she was supposed to do.
Right, right. That's yeah. That's why I think it's okay. But I mean, yeah, I just hated her.
Yeah, and just I would have liked it a lot more if they never explained who Michael Douglas's character was.
Yeah,
like what it was he was like working for a defense company making missiles, but then he started like kind of losing it a bit. Like his job was like what like he had like a temper, and he lost his family because his wife divorced him, took his daughter away. And then he started, like, kind of breaking down a bit. Then he got fired from his job at the defense plant. So now he's just, like, has nothing.
Right, yeah.
And then it's his daughter's birthday, so he tries to go and see her. Then he goes in to buy a can of... He goes in to get some change, goes in to buy a can of Coke, and it's, like, 85 cents. So he just grabs the guy's baseball bat and starts destroying his store.
Yeah.
And then he goes out. Then he goes out and meets Mexican people, breaks them down. Then, they're like, as they're doing the drive-by... They shoot, like, five people, but miss him entirely.
That was so awesome about that movie. Like, that scene, like, he doesn't even budge from the payphone. And they just completely miss him. And it's kind of like, there's no reason for it. It's just totally by chance that they completely miss the one person that they're trying to hit. And it's nothing's ever said about it. And I was like, that's perfect, you know? He was a hit. No one else knows what the fuck they're shooting at. So, you know, why would it be brought up or anything? And I like that.
Yeah.
Left alone.
Yeah, it was good. And then, like, just after that, as soon as they did that, it's like, hey, man, did you get him? Oh, fuck, car crash. Yeah, but yeah, it's just, this is why gangs need to stop doing drive-by shootings. If they hadn't done a drive-by shooting, 50 Cent would be dead.
Right.
If only...
Yes, if only. If they hadn't just, like, actually rolled up on him, got out of the car, then shot him.
Well, at least we got rid of Tupac.
Tupac was good. Alright, like early rappers, I like early rap. I fucking hate 50 Cent.
See, you say early rap, I think, like, Beastie Boys and the Fat Boys and LL Cool J.
LL Cool J?
Yeah, he was big in the 80s. I mean, he was part of my childhood when it was doing rap.
I'm talking about, like, the 90s gangster rap stuff.
Right. That's early rap for you.
Yes, early rap for me. Because it happened while I was being born. You know, and it's... And I cannot remember any of the 90s, and I kind of am glad about it.
That's kind of like how I used to feel about the 80s.
Right, I'm so just, glad I did not live in the 80s.
Just gonna make this note really quick. You like old rappers, check out Cage, specifically their song Grand Old Party Crash. It features Jell-O by Afra.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like a great song.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, well, Falling Down, fucking amazing. Check it out if you haven't. So, I also watched some premieres. So, yeah, we've kind of gotten into the fall season, and now new shows, as well as new seasons of old shows, are starting.
Right on.
So the three premieres that I watched were Castle, Two and a Half Men, and How I Met Your Mother.
Real quick, is Castle on Netflix Instant, you guys know?
No, it is not.
Damn.
But I kind of sent you some links to stuff that's just online.
Castle is one of those shows that I've been... thinking I need to watch, mostly because I found out that they make constant Firefly jokes or references.
Yes, they do. Like there's this one bit, like a Halloween episode. It starts out like Castle's getting his costume on. He's like suiting up. Then he just like goes outside, spins his Mal Reynolds gun, and it's like goes that goes there. And then his daughter's like, "What are you supposed to be?" And he's like, "Space cowboy." I don't like it.
That's awesome.
I find it particularly funny because every time I tell someone about Firefly, they're like, well, what's the premise? I'm like, it's a space western. And they're like, space western? That's stupid. I'm like, no, it's not. Just watch it.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's kind of one of the reasons it got canceled because, like, if you try to describe that show to someone, it's like, yeah, it's like a Wild West show in space. It's like, eh, but then...
It sounds gimmicky.
Yeah, it sounds gimmicky.
Maybe it's ahead of its time, because, I mean, wasn't Aliens versus Cowboys doing good?
Cowboys versus Aliens?
Yeah. Wasn't that doing really well in the theaters?
Yeah, well,
long
that
ago?
Is gimmicky. That's the thing.
Yeah, that show set out to be gimmicky. This one, it had the gimmicky premise, but it was actually a really good show. You know, it made a better Han Solo.
I'd say a more true Han Solo.
Yes, that's why I say better.
Just shot first. I mean,
yes. Oh, God. I will not get into the argument of who shot first.
There is no argument.
People make that argument.
Well, they are wrong.
Mm-hmm. So, let's first start out with Castle Premiere. So, at the end of last season, they've been leading up to this. It was this big conspiracy theory going on where Detective Beckett's mom, Detective Beckett's one of the main characters, she is the other main character. Her mom got murdered, and then it worked her way to this whole big conspiracy theory where she was killed by an assassin who was hired by some people who were covering up for cops who were kidnapping and holding for ransom mobsters back in, like, the 80s. And so then it gets to the point where, like, all the people who were involved are being killed off one by one. And then, like, at the end of the season, the captain who was in on it gets killed protecting Beckett. And then while Beckett's giving the eulogy, she gets shot. Like, at his funeral, in the middle of the eulogy, just all of a sudden, just shot right through the chest.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, so then the next season starts out, like, minutes after that. She's going into the hospital. Her friend Lainey, who's the medical examiner and a doctor, she is just, like, kneeling on the stretcher, just giving her CPR the entire time, trying to keep her heart beating. And then, like, her boyfriend, who's a heart surgeon, comes out, starts, like, beating on Castle, just telling him, like, it's all his fault that all this happened. And, like, his daughter starts turning on him because he might get killed, even though, oh, it's kind of, because, like, before it's all kind of just, like, in the peripheral. All the really bad shit was going on while Castle wasn't there. This time, you know, she was there, and so was Castle. And someone got shot. And then it just goes on to making more of the... It goes back into, like, regular Castle setup of, oh, we got this kind of bizarre case, so let's do quips and shit. And, yeah, it was a good episode. Managed to, like, go along with some more stuff, but one thing I did not like, they got a new captain in the precinct. Her name is, like, Captain Victoria Gates. Guess what they call her? The Iron Gates.
Oh, no.
Cops, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so yeah, Castle was good. So, let's move on to Two and a Half Men.
It sucked.
Was so bad. It was so bad.
Like, I really don't have anything to base it off of. I've only ever seen bits and pieces, like, very, very, you know, like, 5 minutes at a time of any given episode. And I've never seen anything in that show funny. And so when I sat down to watch the whole thing, kind of like, oh, let's see how this whole Charlie Sheen thing, you know, wraps up. And I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. Like, my brain cells were dying faster watching that than if I was doing meth.
Yes, this should. Yes, so this is our prods saying, Two and a Half Men, worse than meth. If you have a choice,
stay on meth, kids.
Yes, if you have a choice between watching an episode of Two and a Half Men and shooting up.
Shoot up.
Between the toes. No one looks there.
Yeah, so everyone was kind of wondering, like, how are they going to actually remove Charlie Sheen from the show? They just killed him. Like, Shaxx, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say that was brilliant.
Yes, that was good. It just, like, starts out with just a pan across. You just see, like, some breeze, a coffin, then his bowling shirt, then Alan. And then they do some interesting thing with, like, introducing Ashton Kutcher's character into the show, because he's a suicidal billionaire. Because, yeah, that always happens.
That was just so awful all the way around. His introduction to it, character in it.
It's like, hey, can I use your phone? It's like, sure, what are you doing? I was trying to drown myself in the ocean. You know you can still do that. It's like, but it's cold out there. You have a wetsuit?
I know, it's like, you know, let's just go lay down on the ground, like, hypothermia take you over, huh? Shut up.
God. Yeah, and then, like, the next day, it's like, I just had sex with two women. And Alan's like, oh, well, I masturbated and cried myself to sleep. I like my night
so
better.
Disturbing.
That's always the thing, like, that's always been the entire dynamic of Alan and anyone he's living with. Is, oh, like, God. Is like, you know, the guy he's living with has, like, the great life, you know. Like, his brother is like, oh, he does no work at all, but he still makes hundreds of thousands of dollars. He gets sex with all these beautiful women. And then Alan's always, at night, sleeping on a hide bed in his guest room while he has to listen to it.
Well, that sounds just like the comparison between Charlie Sheen and that actor I've never heard of.
That's what I just talked about.
This.
So it's the exact same thing this time around. Yes, they just replaced the crazy Charlie. They just replaced crazy fucking dude who sleeps with a whole bunch of women with suicidal dude who sleeps with a bunch of women.
Oh, man.
And I wasn't talking about the characters there.
Yeah.
That was meant to be the joke.
Yep. Oh, God. So, yeah, 2.5 men. Terrible, still. But how about your mother? Still fucking awesome. Yeah, so, either you guys watch How I Met Your Mother?
I don't have television. I just find shows that are interesting and I buy them.
Okay,
I buy them.
Okay, so How I Met Your Mother is interesting. Buy it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, How I Met Your Mother.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother has always been a really funny show. Like, they've always managed to keep it, like, really snappy. Like, they got really funny people in. They got Allison Hannigan. They got fucking Jason Segel. They got Neil Patrick Harris.
NPH.
Yes, and Neil Patrick.
I wouldn't count him.
Yes, and Neil Patrick Harris is essentially playing the same character he played in the Harold and Kumar movies, only not on drugs.
Dude, it's the same character he plays in everything now. Even when he's hosting the fucking Video Game Awards, he plays that character.
No, he didn't. Like he.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris was not Neil Patrick Harris from Harold and Kumar. If he was, that show would be interesting. No, but like, just like when he is, he's like he plays Barney Stinson, like a really full of womanizer who wears nothing but suits. Like he even sleeps in a suit. Yes, he has a specially made silk suit that's made like to look feel like pajamas, but it's a three piece. It has like the pants, and it has like the undercoat, the vest, the overcoat, and a fucking silk necktie.
All right, I'll give him that. That's kind of pimp.
Yeah, and then Jason Segel's in it, and he is fucking hilarious in everything he's been in. Allison Hannigan, she does not, you know, we have not seen a lot of her, but she is still funny. And then the other people they got for it, people that no one's ever heard of, they're good too. So yeah, the show's always been real funny, real snappy, and it continues with that. And we're getting into, I think, like nearing the end of the series. Because the series is going to end when he actually meets the mother. So the entire setup of the show is, it's way ahead in the year, like 2034, and the main guy who's being voiced in 2034 by Bob Saget is telling his kids the story of how he met their mother.
I don't understand that. Like, is this dude going to turn into Bob Saget as soon as he meets this chick?
No, he doesn't turn into Bob. He doesn't turn into Bob Saget until after the year 2022.
He just turns over and he's like,
magic.
Oh, Bob Saget.
Yeah, just wakes up one morning like, oh God, my head. Wait, what the fuck? Why do I sound like Bob Saget?
And he's probably gonna be like, man, I feel like I just blew a goat last night or something crazy like Bob Saget would say.
Yeah, it's like, honey, get in here. I think something happened.
God, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, but.
He's just so horrible and not funny. Like, he's not horrible for a purpose.
Are you talking
about Neil Patrick Harris?
No. Bob Saget. Bob Saget.
But Bob Saget in this, he's just really restrained. Like, you don't really get a whole lot of Bob Saget. He just, like, he'll have a 10-second little intro thing at the beginning of the episode. Like, maybe one or two little, like, 3-second things where he just says, like, this might have happened. But it didn't. Or, like, this happened. Like, this isn't how it happened. And then it goes to the end where he might say something else. So, all in all, you get Bob Saget for maybe 20 seconds of an episode.
Not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paycheck for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so, by the time we get to the 7th season, which is what just started, we are at the wedding where the main guy, whose name is Ted, meets the mother.
Now, okay, go. I was just gonna say, are they gonna play it out like he meets a bunch of different chicks and like not like meets them like isn't gonna go fuck all of them, but like is he gonna like Like, every chick is he going to talk to at this wedding, people are going to be like, oh, is that her? Oh, is that her? Oh, what about her over here?
Probably, but I'm pretty sure that we won't actually get to see that until the next season, because this season is trying to figure out who the bride is. Yeah, because at the end of the sixth season, like, the guy who's getting married is Barney, like Neil Patrick Harris. And so there are two possible women that he could be marrying. And so we don't know who that woman is yet.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm lost in this whole thing.
Okay, well, just watch the show. It is fucking hilarious. It is a really great show. It's real funny. It's not that it doesn't take itself that seriously until it gets into, like, the next season. But even then, it still manages to keep, like, that lightheartedness. And it is just really fantastic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is about it for what I've watched. My head hurts. Okay, so let's move on to news. Okay, so Bobby and I were talking about this before, but we're going to go over some of the stuff that is going to be showing on the Star Wars Special Edition Blu-rays.
Balls.
Yes. It's like, I have in front of me a list of every deleted scene.
Wow.
Every deleted scene.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is. From all three movies.
All three movies or all six movies?
All three, because that's all they're going to be doing.
Oh.
They are making one change to The Phantom Menace.
Oh, fuck The Phantom Menace.
They fixed Yoda.
Fuck The Phantom Menace.
But unless they're going to make it better.
Unless they're going to reshoot entire movie.
They fixed Yoda. They fixed Yoda. That's all they did. That's something.
Unless they just deleted that movie entirely, then got like some guys to go edit over George Lucas' original script, and then reshoot it with entirely different actors. Or at least replace Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman.
Well, you know what? Star Wars won't be fixed until George Lucas dies.
Yes.
Because he keeps wanting to fix it, and that doesn't fix it at all.
No, he keeps making it worse.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that I've always heard about. Like, everyone's always, like, from a lot of the pop culture things I go to, like, everyone's saying, like, oh, George Lucas is a genius, but he's not really, because because at every step of the way for the first three movies, he had people editing them. He had editors.
Yeah, now they're like, do whatever the fuck you want, and he's bad at it.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, you made $8 billion and, like, more money than anyone else on the planet. Here's a pen. Go nuts.
I think there's a certain point with him, though, that, like, he was a nobody to a point where people probably felt comfortable with being like, well, no, that is dumb. Don't do that, or don't add this, or don't cut it that way. Don't edit it. Oh, don't edit this. Edit this instead. And so, you know, he had, like, handlers handling him and his stupidity of not being a good director. He's a bad director. He's horrible. Look at THX 1138 or whatever. Horrible fucking movie. I mean, he's just bad.
You know what the worst George Lucas movie I watched was?
You're going to say American Graffiti, aren't you?
Howard the Duck.
I was going to say An Ewok Adventure.
He directed that?
Christ.
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure, actually. No. It's been years since I watched it.
No, the absolute worst movie that he ever did was Howard the Duck.
Actually, there is one Star Wars movie that has been purposely shoved underground.
The Christmas special, I know.
The Christmas special, yes. I've seen some of it. I've not seen the whole thing, but I've seen some of it. I've seen enough of it.
Yes, but that has, like, that little appeal of being connected to this whole other thing, and people are like, oh my god, it's so terrible, you have to see it. Howard the Duck is just so terrible, they should murder the guy who suggested to make this movie.
I'm trying to remember Howard the Duck. Like, I know I've seen it, and as a kid I liked it.
Yeah, he's a Marvel character. He was from, like, some alternate universe where everyone was ducks, and then he got sent over through, like, the Nexus of All Realities in the Florida Everglades to this world, where he uses quack foo to stop crimes.
Yeah, and I remember when he was getting launched through the apartment walls of his duck apartment, there's a scene where he blows through this duck chick's bathroom, and her duck titties are hanging out while she's in the fucking bathtub.
Yeah, this is fucking weird. And then he, and like all of a sudden he ends up in Cleveland and he meets the mom from Back to the Future.
Yeah, Leah Thompson or some shit like that.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that. And then I just meet with Quack Fu, and then like this just jump on the guy and start hitting him in the head. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
So bad.
Anyways, the one thing I can say overall for the changes to Star Wars that George Lucas is making is that he's using a lot of new CGI effects, and they're really high definition, but what he's putting them into isn't, so they don't quite seem to fit.
Mm-hmm.
Even changing Yoda in The Phantom Menace looks a bit awkward. But the effect that they use to make the Ewoks blink is just horrid. Absolutely horrid.
Okay, so...
Like, why add that?
I don't know, because money.
Oh, and placing whatever the race Zabulba is in Jabba's palace, he doesn't look like he belongs there at all. Mm-hmm. It totally draws attention from what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna, for now, run down a list of every scene that's gonna be put into this new movie. Okay, so, let's start with episode 4, shall we? Alright, so first up we got the Tosh station where, we have Luke interacting more with, Biggs Darklighter, who's the guy that he meets, before he does the, trench run. Like, he's at the rebellion based on Yavin, and then he just, and then he just all of a sudden sees this guy come up with a fucking awesome mustache. And he's like, Biggs, where you been, man?
Yeah, isn't the Empire Biggs. Strikes Back?
Yeah, I think, yeah, no. I think, wasn't it?
No, it's A New Hope.
Oh, right, yeah, because that's when they blow up the Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, yes. Nice. Okay, so yeah, just like, give some more background about him and about like the kind of world where they live in, because apparently, leaving the academy and going to join the rebellion is actually kind of common in this world. It's like...
Right.
Yeah, like, I think... I'm just doing conjecture here, but maybe, like, half the people from the academy just drop out and join the rebellion. Because the
academy... I believe that's, like, their plan. I don't remember where I heard this at, but, like, I believe that these kids that are, like, Luke Skywalker's age go in there to learn what they learn and then join the rebellion with what they've learned,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm. Okay, so, next scene. Old woman on Tatooine. This is a 24-second clip. So just let me read the description from the site that I'm reading this from. A 24-second clip of an old woman soundlessly yelling at the camera. Apparently, Luke was supposed to rush by her on his way to Anchorhead, but his land speeder isn't in the shot at all, making the scene a bit confusing as it is.
So, they add that scene in, but forget to put him speeding by in it?
Yep.
Okay, that's stupid.
You know what, George Lucas, you know, sometimes you mess up a scene and then you don't put it in the movie for that reason. I'm, and then going back and you're just going to put it in, despite the obvious fucking mistake, you know, you are a fucking genius, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
All right, next up, Aunt Beru's blue milk. Aunt Beru pours a carafe of her famous blue milk and walks upstairs. That is all.
Oh, that is such an important addition. We need to know about that blue milk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next up, the search for R2-D2. It's a short clip of Luke and C-3PO and Landspeeder looking for R2. Yeah, that's about it. All right, so this is the next scene they're at again is probably the most important one. Well, like, the most one that adds the most to the movie. It's the Cantina Rough Cut. It's a... Okay, just let me read the entire thing from this... Alright, so... An interesting 7-minute black-and-white rough cut of the entrance of Luke and Obi-Wan to the Mos Eisley Cantina. Apparently it was edited together from the original shot, but for the final film, more exotic aliens were created and inserted into the scene. Still, many of the more notable aliens are there, especially those drinking in the bar itself. Danik Draco, the Tonic Sisters, and, of course, Ponda Boa and Dr. Evazan, whereas some of the exotics like Feltapern Trevig, Mio, and many other weird aliens were sitting at the tables or absent. Most notable, however, is a cutaway of Han Solo getting his Mac on with a girl at his table, known only as Jenny in the script, even going so far as to making out with her. Also shown is one of the bar drinkers running outside to nab the stormtroopers that come to look for Obi-Wan a bit later, as well as the voice of the guy in Greedo's suit. Who would have thought he'd be British? So yeah, it's a big 7-minute scene which kind of changes the original intro of Han Solo. Now he's more of a womanizer.
But like that kind of would fit his character
mm-hmm.
before he didn't shoot first. Then mm-hmm. Han Solo.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess I really don't mind that.
Yeah, that could be cool. Right, Stormtrooper search. A slightly longer version of the Stormtroopers search through the Mos Eisley alleyways as they look for the droids. Yeah, that's about it.
I add shit to the movie that will make it more appealing. I don't need to see stormtroopers walking an extra 5 feet in an alleyway.
Add shit to the movie that adds shit to the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, we got Darth Vader widens the search. A short scene of Vader discussing the closure of Mos Eisley spaceport with a subordinate while walking along a Death Star corridor. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Episode 5. The Fate of General Veers. So Veers is the Surgeon General who commands the AT-AT Legion in the Battle of Hoth. He succeeds in destroying the power generator, of course, but apparently in a small scene was shot of he and his crew raising their hands in horror as a wounded speeder pilot crashes directly into the head of the AT-AT, killing them all and destroying both vehicles.
So, that's kind of interesting, actually. Yeah, that's a good addition.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad.
All right, so Han and Leia extended echo base argument. This is a slightly longer version.
Yes, we need to hear more of her bitching. Yes, that's exactly what we need.
We need to hear more. we need to hear more nerf herder.
How about an extended scene of them making out and banging?
Yes, just angry. just angry hate sex in a tauntaun.
Where he's like stuffing her face in the pillow saying, call me a nerf herder now, bitch.
Yeah, it's like, who's crying looking now, motherfucker? Shoving her face up a Tauntaun's ass.
You thinking of Luke?
Oh, God, that'd be so disgusting.
Why don't you go make it with your brother again?
Oh, too soon, bitch. Boom! Yes, Han Solo, if they actually made Han Solo into that guy, they just should have had Chewie be, like, the token black guy just falling behind him. Oh, damn, boy!
I could totally see Chewie coming up, smoking a blunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's just, like, a sweet grill. It's like, yo, check out that ice, man!
We should do an entire podcast in Chewbacca voice.
Oh, God. The Star Wars people would hate us. They'd be like, no, he wouldn't say that. And he'd go...
There's probably someone listening right now being like, you guys are saying you hate each other.
You're doing it wrong.
What he said doesn't match what he said.
Yeah, so like just get an email somewhere. Just like, all right, here's the transcription of what you
said
to Chewie.
Nice day, and he said, "I'm going to rape your mother."
all right, here's a transcription of what you guys said in Wookiee. Let's look at it. I would like to eat tuna out of your I'd like to eat tuna out of your living room. And the next scene, the next thing, I bet your mother would. Okay, moving on. Enough.
Do it now.
All right, so Luke's recovery. As Luke floats in a recovery tank on Hoth, he apparently was supposed to mumble deliriously, presumably about Dagobah. Yeah.
I guess I could buy that.
We're over it.
I guess I could. I can. Oh wait, maybe I'm thinking wrong. Where? What? I'm sorry. What is this from?
This is from Empire.
This is after Han saves him, right?
Yes, he's in the Han put him in the Tauntaun, and they found him, and then they put him in a recovery tank.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, see, I guess, well, he's in a fucking tank of water. He can't talk.
No, he's in a tank of liquid oxygen. Possibly. I don't fucking know, dude.
It's liquid.
It's a liquid. He has a tube. So he's presumably floating around his own urine and shit.
Oh, it's yummy.
That's why the water's that color.
It's like swimming pool.
Yes. Okay, so next up, we got Luke and Leia medical scene. Creepy Luke and Leia moment in the medical bay as she examines his scars, touching his face all over. He says, all I could do was when I was out there freezing was I might get every chance. I might never get the chance. He leans in for a kiss, but if you've never said thank God for C-3PO, you can say it now, as he arrives to break up the fun.
Well, are you telling me they took out the kiss?
No, I'm telling you they took out the thing where Luke actually tried to kiss a sixter, where Luke actually tried to kiss Leia in a sexual way. They had the bit where she kissed Luke to make Han jealous. But this was the one where, like, Luke is actually starting to develop develop sexual feelings for Leia, and then tries to act on them. But then C-3PO comes in and cock blocks him.
You think the Force would give him vibes about this? About not advancing on your sister?
Yeah.
There's so many loopholes with when it comes to them sensing each other in all six of these movies, and this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So, next up, deleted Wampa scenes. So, we get more Wampas.
What are Wampas?
They're the big, abominable snow people.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then, Yoda's test. Yoda attempts to float a silver bar in front of Luke on Dagobah, and Luke attempts to cut it to pieces with the lightsaber before it hits the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That should take, like, 3 seconds. Yeah, bar goes up, slips it, boom, boom, boom.
I guess they figured they need more lightsaber.
Maybe.
Okay. No, there definitely wasn't enough in 4.
Is Luke supposed to be like some Force prodigy?
How do you mean?
Like, you know, Yoda's always saying like the Force is strong with this one, and everyone's always saying like, oh, I feel strong presence in the Force, and they're always talking about Luke. But then, all he really does is make his lightsaber move after staring at it for a couple minutes.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is kind of the thing, like, I've heard this
He gets kind of powerful by Return of the Jedi, for example. Despite the fact that Jedi shouldn't be using this, he gets better at the Force choke than Darth Vader was. Because he's just like, phew, phew, they're dead.
Okay.
So he does get kind of strong by that point.
Okay, well, moving on to Return of the Jedi. Fitting. Alright, so this is called Vader's Arrival and Reaching Out to Luke. A few alternate angles on Vader's early film discussion with Pied about the Emperor's arrival and about the Emperor's imminent arrival, but the dialogue remains the same. This segues into a short scene where Vader attempts to commune with Luke via his meditation chamber, giving some nice little Luke dialogue moments.
Oh.
Catch Luke on Tatooine, attempting to ignore Vader while finishing up his new lightsaber. C-3PO and R2-D2 join him in his little cave, then walk outside, and Millennium Falcon, and spaceships, and science. Yeah. So then we got Tatooine Sandstorm, a two-minute sequence as Lando, Han, Leia, and the rest of the gang attempts to make it through a sandstorm to reach Red 5 and the Millennium Falcon. Then say their goodbyes as Luke peels off to head for Dagobah.
Okay.
Yep.
So they just added in an extended goodbye scene that's out there?
Yep.
Okay. I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, these guys are all really, really good close friends by this point, so I don't see anything really wrong with that, I guess.
This reminds me. Did you guys notice that when Lando starts piloting the Millennium Falcon, he's wearing Han's clothes?
I never noticed it until it was pointed out in the Family Guy episode.
Yes, exactly. That's where I saw it too. It was like,
actually, I did notice. Yeah.
Why? Is it standard issue that anyone who pilots the Millennium Falcon has to wear that clothes?
I'll tell you what it is. There's one of those buttons. on the Millennium Falcon, it like automatically cleans you and changes your clothes, and that's just the default setting. And Lando just accidentally pushed it, got switched. That's all.
I guarantee you, there's some place on the internet where this was brought up, and someone plugged that plot hole.
Yes. Yes, they plugged
it.
I just did it.
Yes, they plugged it with. Yeah, they plugged it. They plugged it with some slash fiction.
Well, you plugged it with kind of like, ha ha ha. But someone out there is serious about it. Someone's like, well, no, this is what happened, and this is why.
Yeah, and that. Yeah, then later on in that forum, someone posts a link to their slash fan fiction where, like, Han and Lando had a night of sexy, steamy space gay sex, and then they just accidentally picked up the wrong people's clothes because it was dark in there. Yeah. It was dark in that space broom cupboard.
Well, look, alright. Fuck, what's his name now? Lando is a black guy. So
Billy D. Williams.
I don't put it past him to steal Han's clothes once he's pretty much dead.
Racist bitch! it's just, I love that line in the Family Guy thing. It's like, well, they're always Lando. The Lando system? No, Lando's not a system. He's a black guy. Probably the only black guy in the galaxy.
And in fact, I believe he's like one of the only black guys in this whole trilogy, other than...
Yeah, it's like him and Mace Windu.
Yeah. Yep.
Between the entire saga covering 6 movies, there's 2 black guys, and one of them has neither... One of the movies has neither of them.
Yes. Oh, God. Okay, so this is the last scene that they added in. Rebel raid on the bunker. A small scene from Han's assault in the energy shield bunker on Endor. In the theatrical cut, they basically walk in and take the place over. Here, Han and his crew have to take out a couple dozen stormtroopers before they can plant their charges. So, yeah. More shooting.
So we get to see, you know, another 10 minutes of stormtroopers missing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather them do that and have more stormtroopers missing with those blasters that are apparently better than lightsabers for whatever reason. But I'd rather see that than an Ewok walking across the fucking floor and do nothing and look out of place.
Uh-huh. So was there anything else you wanted to add from your blink of stuff for new features in the Blu-ray shit?
It's the one thing that's pissing off the most fans is what? when Darth Vader kills the Emperor, they added in a no.
Oh God!
And that...
at least they didn't add in a Wilhelm scream.
I listened to it and it doesn't sound like it's actual voice acting for it. It just sounds like what James Earl Jones was saying when they were trying to get him to do it. Just like, do you want to do more voice recording for Star Wars? No. Oh, come on. I'm sure you'll really like it. No. Okay, we got BG. Oh, fuck.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I can see it. They're like, can we get one more no out of you, please?
Yeah. And can you try to hold it for a second? You know, it's like, all right, just get him. He's like 5 seconds, he's like looped to the last half of it. So he's just like, no,
Yeah, there's that, and there's that Obi-Wan's crate dragon call, which I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen The New Hope that I don't remember how it sounded before they changed it.
It was more like just a whistle. Originally, it was kind of like a whistle.
Well, I can't say what it sounds like now. Sounds horrible, like as if you started a car with a cat on top of the engine.
Okay, so moving on for more news.
No!
Sorry, I was going to say the one good thing that comes of this whole adding things to Star Wars is I get more value because I have the original releases of the trilogy unopened. So those become more valuable every time George Lucas fucks with it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I will say this for him putting all this added stuff in there. And I'm not defending it at all. I mean, a lot of it doesn't bother me. Some of it does. But try to look at it this way. He's trying to give you more Star Wars and stuff that you have not seen rather than just release the same old movies over and over again that we've all bought 100 times now.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to see the glass half full there a little bit on where he's at. Mm-hmm. Which, has he ever came out and said why he does this? Like, I've never seen any kind of article or video or interview or anything with him where he was like, yeah, I do this because I really think the fans would like it.
It's not doing that. Like, I'm guessing what it is like, every couple generations, you know, there is like a huge chunk of people that don't know what the fuck Star Wars is. So
it ruins it for them?
Yes. Because that's what he's doing. Well, he's systematically lowering the quality of the original movies so that when people watch that and watch the fucking prequel trilogy, they will not be able to see any arguable difference between them.
Well, I mean,
remember that consecutive generations, their tastes are lowered. I mean, fucking Justin Bieber.
Jersey Shore. You know,
he's able to just, you know, lower that bar a little bit more with each generation he's trying to pander to. Because if you try and make it too good, then they won't get it.
Yeah, then their heads will explode.
I can see your point there, really, actually, because you look at Wizard of Oz. Like, Wizard of Oz has never been changed other than upgraded to so it's not falling apart in 10. And nothing's been added or changed to it or nothing like that. And it seems like less and less people like it and care about it than what it used to be. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, like, the Justin Biebers of the world, if they have seen it.
Oh, God, there's more than one?
You haven't seen? Like, Jesus Christ, even my friend's son has this haircut. But, I mean, even if these kids have seen The Wizard of Oz, I'm sure a good majority of them don't like it. And like, what the fuck is this movie, you know?
Yeah.
And that's this really kind of like, what I was saying.
It's like, this really is just 2 hours of walking.
Yeah.
Skipping. Skipping, goddammit. Skipping.
Okay, moving on. Okay, so have either of you guys ever heard of someone named Harlan Ellison?
The name sounds familiar, but I have no idea why.
All right, so he's a sci-fi author, sci-fi writer. He's done a whole bunch of shit. He's done, like, essays, TV, short stories, novellas, screenplays, a bunch of shit. And he also sued James Cameron over The Terminator.
Nope.
Yes, he
too
believed...
late.
Yes.
No,
he didn't. No, not now. He did this later. He did this earlier, like around the time of the release of The Terminator. He sued James Cameron.
Okay. Yes. And we're just hearing about it now?
No.
Okay.
No,
There's more to it. Okay, let's listen.
Yes. Yeah, okay, so we sued him over that. He also sued the CBS because he alleged that they were withholding profits on the episode of Star Trek that he wrote. He also sued a company for defaming him in a book that had not come out yet. And now he is suing the producers of In Time. And In Time is the new, like, upcoming movie with Justin Timberlake where, like, people are given time as payment for services and shit. So, apparently this guy, he wrote a story a little while ago called Repent, Harlequin, Said the TikTok Man, which is about a dystopian corporate future in which everyone has allotted a specific amount of time to live. So, this is kind of like the whole Wave It thing over and over. This is kind of like the Wave It thing over again. But,
yeah.
So, yeah. He's doing something again.
I'd say this is even less likely than the Wave It. Because you know what? Think Optics, they're suing a lot of people at once. But this guy has been suing people his whole goddamn life.
Yes.
Of course, they're just going to be like, get the fuck out of my face. You sued so many people. You think you own everybody else's story. Just go away.
He also did some shit with fucking iRobot. Like, just let me read the wiki thing. Like, shortly after the release of Star Wars in 1997, Ben Roberts contacted Ellison to develop a script based on Isaac Asimov's iRobot short story collection for Warner Brothers. In meeting with studio head Robert Shapiro, Ellis concluded that Shapiro was commenting on the script without having read it and accused him of having the intellectual capacity of an artichoke. Yeah. And he also apparently publicly assaulted an author and critic.
Assaulted, as in?
As in attacked.
Wow.
See, yeah, this guy's just a fucking nut job.
At an awards, yeah. At an awards banquet.
Oh, man, this keeps getting better. What next?
All right,
No, let's just make a movie about this guy.
Yes.
That'll be fun to watch.
Yes, just the life and times of Harlan Ellison. Then I'll sue us over it. Okay, so...
Bet you he won't even win that lawsuit. We'll just say he's a crazy bastard.
He's a crazy motherfucker. Okay, so... Now, this is kind of weird. Fox buys TV show based on DC comic superhero The Spectre. So, do either of you guys know who The Spectre is?
No, it looks like another DC character that not many people are familiar with getting made into a movie.
No, TV show.
TV show.
Yes, syndicated network television brought to you by Fox.
Is he the guy with the green hood and a skull face kind of thing going on?
Yes. He is. Yeah. Yeah, he's essentially God's punishment.
I only know him because he's in DCUO.
Yeah, like at one point Hal Jordan becomes the Spectre.
In the game, yes.
No, like in the comics too.
Oh.
Yeah, like what happened was in the comics Hal Jordan got possessed by Parallax, then he died reigniting his son. And then his soul got sent up to heaven or whatever, and then God made him the Spectre.
Nice.
But then he was revived and came back to life as the Green Lantern. Because you cannot shut those fanboys the fuck up.
I like Green Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so. Then. Okay, so it's just... Yeah, they might be making a show out of it.
Yeah. So, what kind of character is he? I mean...
He's just...
Like, what's the show gonna be?
It's... He was a cop who got murdered, and then he came back to life as a ghost who deals out punishment to the unjust.
Jesus Christ, so there's nothing original about it.
Nope. Yeah, the thing I'm reading it describes it as an inverse Ghost Rider. Yes, instead of being a guy who sells his soul to the devil and then becomes the devil's handyman for dealing out punishment to the sinful. This is a guy who gets murdered and then goes to God, where he becomes a handyman to deal out punishment to the sinful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, that's that. And then, next. An Avatar-themed Disney ride is coming to Disney World. Yeah, so James Cameron's Avatar is being made into a ride at Disney World.
I gotta assume it's gonna sit right next to George Lucas' Star Wars ride.
Nope! It is going... Let's see, let me just read through the story. It's going in Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Alright, that makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know, really, we're supposed to compare the Navi to animals. That's exactly the point that movie's trying to make.
Yes, but just... Did this movie have anything to do with Disney?
True. But does Star Wars have anything to do with Disney?
They're just running out of stuff that people will actually want to watch.
Want to wait in line for 7 hours while eating a $15 churro to get in a ride that will last 3 minutes.
Yeah. I think Disney World's just really starting to lose popularity, so they're just going to everyone else's studios too to try and get something going on.
Yeah, it's like coming soon, the Gears of War ride.
Yeah, because it used to be things like that and like the Star Wars ride were things that you would probably used to see at like a Universal Studios theme park.
Yeah, but they're even less popular now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Are they even around anymore? I don't know.
I think theme parks are kind of dropping out of favor.
Maybe they'll go digital like Booster Gold talks about DCUO.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we are kind of developing VR technology.
Yeah.
So, you know, put them inside a giant ball with some stupid goggles, and away we go. But you still have to wait in line for 3 hours to get on the ride.
There's a point, because, like, there's these Booster Gold things throughout the whole game, and you go, and he's, like, explains different areas of where you're at, and he's talking about, like, this theme park, and he's like, my time, you'd go to a carnival through, you know, virtual reality. You never had to go to an actual real carnival. And then he's like, wait, I couldn't have gone to a carnival?
Oh, God. Okay, so that just about does it for news. Trailers. What have we seen?
I got a good couple of them here.
Shaq, let's start with you.
Okay, Straw Dogs, I think you talked about it last week, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that actually looks like a pretty decent movie, now that I watched it.
I've seen a bunch of the reviews. It's not. Watch the original.
No.
With Dustin Hoffman.
There's an original? Okay. Yeah, Dustin Hoffman, for sure, yeah.
Dustin Hoffman.
Right. Another one I got here is J. Edgar, which I'm really interested in seeing. It's a true story about J. Edgar Hoover. I don't know if you guys know who he was.
Founded the FBI.
Yeah, okay. Leonardo DiCaprio plays as him. I believe it's directed by Clint Eastwood, if I remember reading that right. So I want to see him dressed like a woman. That's my main reason I wanted to watch that movie, but it looks really, really good. And Leonardo DiCaprio, you can't lose with him.
Mm-hmm.
Machine Gun Preacher, that looks fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys seen the trailer for that.
Yeah.
It has, what's his name in it?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah. It looks like finally he'll make a really good action movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got 50-50. That movie's meh. It looks comical. It has Seth Rogen in it, unfortunately. Which
it looks like a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it looks funny enough. I mean, it's just every time I see Seth Rogen now, I'm getting to the point where I'm getting tired of seeing him in movies. And it's like he could go ahead and take a break for a couple of years and just work, you know, enjoy some of that fucking money that he's made.
Yeah, just take a breather, go away, like regrow your Jew beard.
Yeah, him and Danny McBride can go fucking take a hike for a while and just go away.
Yeah, just fall into the public eye, you know, be like, and then after a couple months, do like a 3-line voice role in some animated movie no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, and then most of us won't watch because we don't have kids.
Yes.
You
never know. You never know. I like Seth Rogen and Horton Hears a Who.
Oh, I never seen that.
It's good. It's pretty good.
I've seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil. That looks fucking hilarious. Like, that looks real original. Like, it's taking an aspect of horror movies in an unoriginal way and putting a very original spin on it, where these two guys are just some backwoods hillbillies, but they're totally innocent guys, but, like, this group of teenagers think they're like, axe-wielding maniac murderers. And comedy ensues. I mean, I've watched the trailer twice now and laughed my ass.
Crazy antics ensue.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I accidentally put this axe with this demon's head.
Well, like, there's a part where, like, the one of the guys starts a chainsaw and, like, a wasp nest falls down and he's, like, swinging it around. Like, the bees are attacking him and he's swinging this chainsaw around and the kids are like, oh my god, he's gonna kill us with the chainsaw! To them, all they see is this psychopath with the chainsaw waving around.
Yeah, and one of him is just like, oh god, bees!
Yeah. The trailer I see that I'm most excited to see is The Thing. I'm a huge fan of the John Carpenter's version with Kurt Russell. I love that movie.
That was a fucking amazing movie.
Oh, dude, it's classic. One of the best sci-fi horror movies ever. Yeah. And they are finally making a prequel to it, which is really long overdue because if you for those who have not seen the original Thing, the movie starts out with this guy in a helicopter shooting at a dog, and the dog is carrying the DNA or whatever of the thing.
He's infected.
Yeah, and this movie is going to tell the story of, you know, up to where that guy, I'm assuming up to where that guy is chasing after that dog in the helicopter shooting at it.
Yeah, probably. It's probably going to lead up to like him and like running out towards two indistinct figures on the screen, screaming and rushing, you know, don't go near the dog, don't go near the dog, then boom, boom.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really interested in seeing this, very, very long overdue. I mean, I don't want to say original because I think there was like a 1950s version of the movie also.
Yes, Thing from Another World.
Yeah. So, like, the 80s version, yeah, it's well overdue. One of John Carpenter's greatest movies. So.
Yes, and it is much better than the original. The original fucking sucked.
I've never seen it, so that kind of sad because I like black and white old sci-fi movies like that. I seen the trailer for The Three Musketeers. That looks decent.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It looks like The Three Musketeers. I mean, it doesn't look like it's the comical type version like that fucking Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland and whoever else was in it. That movie was atrocious and was just total disrespect to The Three Musketeers.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And Immortals, which is like
looks good.
Movie, yeah, it looks very, very good. It seems like because like I used to read a lot of Greek mythology, and I've never heard of this story or anything. So I'm thinking this must be like a kind of like a very low rent, you know, Greek mythology story. But it looks really good, and I'm really interested in checking it out. And that's it for me for trailers.
Okay, Bobby.
I'm going to be honest, I can't remember any trailers.
Okay.
I may have watched some, I may not have. They're not sticking in my memory.
Okay. So, then moving on to me. The Muppets. This movie is coming out soon. It looks fucking amazing. And they did a parody trailer called The Pig with the Froggy Tattoo. And they constantly make that joke. We realized we hadn't done a parody in a while. And it said that as it's, like, flashing in between scenes of, like, just scenes from the movie. And then, like, at some point, it goes like, we couldn't get the rights to the real song from the trailer, so we had some guy write up his own version. We had to put him in the movie. And it just, like, shows the big, like, ensemble scene where it's, like, hundreds of people just down in the crowd, then it does a little yellow circle over the guy's head. And the next thing is, like, totally worth it.
Oh.
It is so good. I cannot fucking wait for this movie to come out.
I'm actually kind of excited to see it. I remember hearing a while back that Jason Segel's been talks with the Henson people about making a Muppets movie, and there's nobody better. I mean, Jason Segel, dude's fucking hilarious.
He's hilarious, and like the Henson Company, they always manage to make movies that are perfect for when they make them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
It's gonna be so good. Thanksgiving. Expect reviews. Even if we have to break into the theater, we will fucking see this movie and review it. You know, even if I have to, like, figure out how to open a portal to Michigan so that I can get Shaq to buy me tickets. I will see this fucking movie, yes. It'll be magical. Dinner and a show.
Look, there is a space-time rift running through my apartment, if that helps.
Yeah, but I have to drive to London. I figured I'd try to make one with the drawing of a magical space ape I have on my wall.
Wait a minute, what do you mean
London, Ontario.
Oh, alright.
Yeah, we have our own London. And yes. Our own Thames River.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan has its own hell.
I
swear to God.
Okay.
I already killed myself.
Okay, so, we done trailer for this week? Let's move on to new releases. So, just gotta type this shit into Google. Should have probably done this before. Okay, so, this week, so the movies that come out today, Friday, September the 23rd, we got Abduction, Taylor Lautner, because yeah.
Oh, man.
Moneyball with Brad Pitt. Dolphin Tale with Harry Connick Jr., other people.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week, I think. Or not last week, but last episode.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if these are actually ones coming out today. Oh, yeah, okay, so this is some of the ones that came out last week. Never mind. Probably should have done this. Yeah, I really should have done this before. So, you guys, talk amongst yourselves.
So, Bowie. So there's that one movie that we were talking about that I was going to ask if you watched, and I don't remember you mentioning it, and I'm trying to remember the name of the movie now. So, what did you think of the Thing? Do you like that movie?
Oh, God, I haven't watched it in so long, unless you're talking about the new one coming out, which I'm not sure whether or not I will like it.
No, I meant the 80s version.
80s version? I seem to remember liking it. Like I said, it's been a while since I've watched that. Quite a while.
It kind of upsets me with the trailer of the new one. The only thing that I'm kind of like about is it looks like all the mutation stuff that's going to be happening is going to be very CG. And I just – I kind of wish we could go back to how like the old ways of doing that. Because, I mean, you could – the 1980s Thing really holds up well, I think, with how – the people look when they're getting ripped apart and shit. I mean, it's kind of rubbery and goofy looking, but...
Oh, that shit was, like, groundbreaking special effects.
Well, yeah, especially at that time. And, like, if you watch the special... the special edition where they talk about how they made different things, it's... these guys are the most creative in the world.
You used to have to be so much more creative when doing that stuff.
Right.
Okay, so I got the releases for this week now.
All right,
so we got Abduction... Moneyball with Brad Pitt, The Killer Elite with Jason Statham, Robert De Niro, and Clive Owen.
I kind of want to see that.
Yeah,
interesting thing. I was talking about a friend of mine who's in the theater arts program, but that has nothing to do with what we were talking about. We were talking about Jason Statham and how, with the exception of sequels, Jason Statham is never in a movie with more than two words in the title.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh.
God. Oh. Sorry to shit all over your point, but...
The Italian Job.
Oh, you can't count the...
Yeah, you can't count that.
It's a word.
Oh, that's...
Semantics, motherfucker.
We'll leave it up to the listeners.
Yeah, okay.
If you guys listen to the show, you just let us know in the comments.
Okay.
The Italian Job doesn't matter because Shaq's already shit all over my point.
Oh, Crank 2 High Voltage.
I said sequels don't count. I said that.
Okay, so moving on. We got Mardi Gras, Spring Break.
Whoa, were you looking at the porn section?
Nope. It's a Carmen Electra movie.
Like I said, we're talking about porn movies?
With one of the guys from Final Destination 5.
I'm lost on that one.
All right, so then we got Puncture with Chris Evans.
Puncture?
Yeah.
What do we got there? I haven't heard about that. Chris Evans.
So Mike Weiss is a talented young Houston lawyer and a functioning drug addict. Paul Danziger and his longtime friend and partner is a straight-laced and responsible yin to Mike Yang. Their mom-and-pop personal injury law firm is getting by, but things really get interesting when they decide to take on a case involving Vicky, a local ER nurse, who was pricked by a contaminated needle in the job. As Weiss and Danziger dig deeper into the case, a healthcare and pharmaceutical conspiracy teeters on exposure, and heavyweight attorneys move in on the defense. Out of their league, but invested in their own principles, the mounting pressure of the case pushes the two underdog lawyers and their business to breaking point.
Sounds good.
Yeah, look, it could be interesting.
Sounds
Chris
interesting.
Evans, man. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah, he's good. All right, so, moving on. Machine Gun Preacher.
Yeah.
A bird of the air. It's some indie-looking thing. Thunder Soul with Jamie Foxx.
Nope.
Limelight. At Your Friends. It's actually spelled at U R F R E N Z.
God, no, no.
I could tell the way you said that it was going to be spelled stupid.
Mm-hmm. So then we also got Pearl Jam 20, Toast, and Weekend. So,
all right.
Next week, we got What's Your Number? Dream House, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Yeah!
50-50.
Alright.
Margaret. Courageous. American Teacher. Confessions of an Eco-Terrorist.
Whoa, what's that? Eco-Terrorist?
Yeah. So, seen through the eyes of Peter J. Brown, Confessions grants the viewer an intimate look at shipboard life amongst these self-proclaimed animal saviors and sea rebels who shaped the green movement we know and love today. No, we don't. I fucking hate the green movement.
It's pretentious, man. It's the people. It's the people. Mm-hmm. It's the assholes that judge the shit out of you if you so much as do one little thing that's not green.
Yeah.
Like, have a fucking bid we don't all own Prius.
Yeah, like, do you guys ever watch Penn & Teller Bullshit?
No.
Yes. Some of it.
Yeah, they did one episode about the green movement and stuff. And, like, what they did was they took two plates and put green food on one plate and then the regular food on the other plate. And they got people to eat which one was which and try to guess which one, and try to say which one tasted better. And, like, 9 times out of 10... the people said that the, like, non-green food tasted better than the green food. Yeah.
I want to say actually I've seen an episode of them where they had some chicks driving a gas-saving car or something somewhere.
Probably. They do a lot of shit. Like, they did one about video games, like, saying how, like, playing violent video games turns kids into serial killers is bullshit.
It is.
It is total bullshit.
Yeah, and, like, they actually did a test of it. Like they had a kid who... Like, everyone's saying, like, oh, 10-year-old play this game, and then they know how to use weapons and are mass murderers. So then they actually take a 10-year-old kid who plays, like, Call of Duty and Battlefield and Grand Theft Auto, and they let him fire a real gun. He started crying.
That's so awesome!
Yes, that's what happened. Like, that's what happened. Like, they put him out, like, on a firing range with a professionally trained army ops guy with the trauma people, like, first response people off on the side just in case something goes wrong.
Right.
So the kid fires off one shot, and then the next time they show the kid, he is like with his head on his mom's shoulder, crying his eyes out.
Sometime I'll tell you boys about my first time shooting a gun and how it's not too much different from that.
Okay, moving on. We got Filth to Ashes, Flesh to Dust.
Okay.
Yes. Purge. To put to death, eliminate what is undesirable. The serial killer Purge lived and died by this code. But is he dead? A group of college-bound friends are about to find out as they venture into the devil's den.
Sorry, you know, so that you was... say college, I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that, too. Like, it was sounding like an actually pretty interesting movie until you said the college kids.
Yes, and on the cover, it's got three college girls holding on to each other crying. All right, so next up, we got Finding Joe. Yeah, that's the thing. We got Munger Road. On the eve of the annual Scarecrow Festival, two St. Charles police officers search for a return killer the same night. Four teenagers go missing on Munger Road.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, then we got Sarah Palin, You Betcha. A journey across the icy snows of Alaska in midwinter to meet the school friends, family, and Republican colleagues that in previous days gave their heart and souls to the charismatic, charming, and intoxicating ex-hockey mom.
Isn't one of her kids retarded?
No, one of her kids is pregnant.
Oh. I thought she had, like, a retarded
child. One of her kids might be retarded, I don't know. And everyone, there were, like, rumors going around that her husband was gay.
Oh, that would suck. I mean, Sarah Palin is kind of hot.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was hot enough to get that porn made after her.
Yeah. With Lisa Ann.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah.
There's also this great comic book called Sarah Palin versus the World.
Oh, man, that almost sounds as good as Barack the Barbarian. Okay, and that is going to do it for new releases for the next 2 weeks. Expect reviews on none of them, because we have no money. Okay, and that about wraps it up for this week. Okay. So, yeah. And this is another two-hour one.
Yay!
It's 2.5 hours, so I'm going to have to compress this shit.
It's my fault. I must talk way too much, because your other podcasts are like an hour and a half long. I get on here with you guys, and it's 2 hours long.
I think it's more the subjects. Like, comics and anime, you have a certain amount to talk about, but when you get to movies and gaming, especially movies.
Yeah, there's like, news and shit jump out, like, every 30 seconds. comics and anime and stuff, like, we can only really talk about what we've been watching or reading for the past, like, 2 weeks. With this, we can talk about, you know, what we've been watching, what we have watched in the past, and, like, the new TV shows coming out, what we think of, like, upcoming movies that have been announced, because, like, with the new movies and games, they announce, like, new features every fucking day.
Right.
With anime, not so much, it's just kind of like you're looking at the site, it's like, hey, there's a new series. When'd that come out? Yeah, because you see, we do not live in the country where these series get released and announced at this kind of rate.
Right.
Because if we actually did manage to get our hands on like the big fucking like print copies of the Shonen magazines, then they'd have like announcements and that shit. You're like, oh, coming soon, new series from the guy who created this other thing. That is going to do it for this episode and for this week. Be sure to tune in next week for the Review 52 roundup for what we're going to be doing for the second last week of the new 52 stuff. And then tune in the week after until we start the shit all over again.
We need to put together another review cast of a movie.
Yeah. Probably Smoking Aces.
Oh, not a
Fuck
bad
yes,
one.
I'm in for that.
All right, so coming tomorrow. Smoking Aces review cast.
Tomorrow?
I don't fucking know, dude. We gotta jump on this shit. Like last time we said the Dark Man one would come out, and then we ended up like doing that like days later, then it got corrupt, then it like got terrible. With like my audio spiking with every other word and you being able to barely be heard.
How does Monday sound?
Monday I have a lot of class.
How about Sunday?
Sunday would work.
Okay, you guys can do it. I won't be there.
No. We'll work something out at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to do it right away.
How about Thursday? I'm actually entirely free on Thursday. I have no class.
Yeah, okay.
I got no class, bitches.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out in my underwear drinking Red Bull and vodkas. I don't fucking know. Okay.
Hey.
So, again, that is going to do it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week, recast, week after, for this shit. So, until then, I'm Dead.
I'm Bobiwan.
I'm Shax, and I can put Baby in the corner.
Pointy titties and Batman, see you next time.